It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. Lauren Good from All Things D joins John C. Dvorak, Justin Robert Young, and Jason Heiner from Tech Republic. We'll talk about CISPA, the bill they snuck in while nobody was paying attention, the latest on Google Glass, and whether an iWatch can save Apple. It's all next on TWiT.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android.
Video bandwidth for TWiT is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 402, recorded April 21st, 2013. Wagner 2, Electric Boogaloo. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click the microphone, and enter TWiT. And by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with colleagues and clients anywhere. You can share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, use the promo code TWIT. And by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create a professional website, blog, portfolio, or online store. Check out their new commerce solution so you can start selling stuff immediately. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code TWIT4. And by audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get two free books. Go to audible.com/TWIT2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID audible_com. It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech, the show that talks about the week's tech news and obsessively kind of dissects it, chews it. What a week this has been. Unbelievable. Let me, before we get into it, introduce our panel. And we'll start all the way, Chad, all the way to the left with Jason Heiner, TechRepublic.com. Jason, great to have you back.
Hey, always great to be here, Leo.
From Louisville, right? Or is it Knoxville?
Oh, excellent. Louisville, Kentucky. You even said Louisville, not Louisville.
Louisville. I also say Balmer.
Excellent.
Nice to have you,
Jason.
I
say that once in a while, too.
Louisville. I learned that when I went to Louisville. And you know, they have a giant bat at the in front of the Louisville Slugger place. And I got bat. And he said, now, if you're going to use this bat, you got to say it right. It's Louisville. I said, all right. That's right. Really exciting. Now, John C. Dvorak is also here. He's actually texting at this point. He's so bored.
That's true.
I see you found a. Now, is this a Bordeaux? It says Pauillac.
Pauillac.
Yeah. Is that a Bordeaux? No.
You know it is.
It is. Haute de Pontet Canet.
Yeah, it's the second wine from these guys.
Is it good?
It's not as good as the first one. It's killer.
You know, well, I think he gave us a couple of bottles. Maybe he did. It was from Dane Atkinson, the guy who started Squarespace, and he's got a new company called Sumall.
And he's bringing you wine.
And he's bringing us wine. You know why? Because it was the 8th anniversary of TWiT this week. 8 years ago, April 17th, 2005, the very first TWiT. We're now at episode 402.
Huh.
And you've been a part of it since the fourth or fifth episode?
Third.
Long time. So thank you. It's good to have you, John C. Dvorak. ChannelDvorak.com.
I've heard this.
NoAgendaShow.
.com.
Weekly.com.
TwiceWeekly.com.
Also here from NSFW, and of course, in charge of all scavenger hunts nationwide.
Sure, at the Go Game.
At the Go Game. Yeah. Mr. Justin Robert Young, who will now be on the album art because of your contribution this week on This Week on YouTube.
Finally, yes. Yeah. No, so I'll be on the NSFW show album art. And by the way, me and Brian Brushwood, my co-host on NSFW, currently have the number one comedy album on iTunes.
You know, I saw that. I was blown away. What's the name of it again?
Night Attack 2, Enjoy the Garden. It is the sequel to the album that we did about a year and a half ago.
When you say comedy, what do you mean?
Comedy is, I guess, loosely defined as me and Brian talking to each other, but people seem to like it, and we've been really pleased by the reaction to it.
Why don't you work up some material?
Look at this.
Which one is wearing the Mexican wrestler hat? That's you?
In a ill-fitting Lucha Libre mask with my hair.
And that doesn't look like Brian with a mustache. Who is that?
That's Brian, yeah. Brian with,
regular hair? Yeah,
it's like a masquerade kind of
Night Attack.
Top glasses and mustache.
He could be
the sequel to the world-famous Night Attack 1.
Yeah, it was. Well, yeah, Night Attack 1 got up to number 4 on the Billboard charts for comedy.
Did you call it Night Attack 1?
It was called just Night Attack.
Oh, because I thought that would be precedent, dude. Know that you were going to do another one.
We were really like Babe Ruth calling our shot
This is one of many. Yeah.
So thank you to everybody who picked it up. And if you like me and Brian braying at each other like animals, then go get
$3.99. Why not? It's cheap.
I mean, geez.
Can we, Chad, let's prepare. Chad Johnson, our producer, is here. Let's prepare a clip from that if you could find anything.
Okay.
That has.
I don't know if that's going to be possible.
It's not good.
That is not profane.
It's going to be dirty.
Dirty?
Yeah, dirty.
Yeah.
Dirty.
Yeah.
Okay. You work dirty? Do you work blue?
We work blue. Very blue. All right. Yeah.
And you're wearing a t-shirt that says Dragon has lasers.
Oh, yeah. So my friend Andrew Main got me this. It's Elon Musk, a quote from one of the SpaceX press conferences he did where he
That's
was saying
cool.
that is, the Dragon has lasers doing the Dr. Evil.
That is a geek shirt if I ever saw one.
Yeah. No. I'm a geek.
And we're really pleased to welcome, for the first time ever on this stage, Lauren Good of All Things D. She's wondering why she's here right now.
I forgot my Elon Musk t-shirt, unfortunately.
Oh, Lauren! Lauren covers consumer...
Way to get the memo, Lauren.
...consumer gear for All Things D, and we're so glad to have you. And as I told you before the show, you got a bunch of egos on this show, and that's just John. So,
hey, you know, that's like a ripoff of the joke I told earlier that nobody obviously didn't get on this tape.
Yeah, that's how I do it.
My joke was that it was a little different, but you said there's four egos,
mine
and I said...
better.
No, it wasn't.
I thought mine was... Anyway, no. Lauren, just jump just right in anytime. It's not necessary for you to be polite in any way.
So you're telling me there's a bunch of dudes with egos sitting around the round table here?
Talking about tech.
Like tech.
Yeah. Yeah, you never ever experienced anything like that before, I'm sure. This be your first time doing that. Hey, we should mention this, in all seriousness, this was a hell of a horrible week. With an amazing conclusion... I was glued to TV pretty much all the week long, we have many friends and listeners and viewers in the Boston area, and boy, we're just glad you made it out. Most of you made it out okay. What a story. And I'm not going to get into the politics of it because I know we could get John going on the...
We shouldn't be. We're not talking tech.
There was tech involved. You know what's interesting? The police said there was no facial recognition software applied to hundreds of thousands of photographs because, of course, the Boston Marathon, not only are there security cameras everywhere, but there's lots of photographers did not come up with that face, even though they had those faces in their databases in the Department of Motor Vehicles database. There was an FBI investigation of the older brother. They weren't able to come up with it. It was a human being looking at one video over and over 400 times that came up with the identification.
Makes you wonder.
Well, it's good news in some ways. I also read an article in Slate that said this is a reason why we should have more cameras in public.
We haven't got enough.
Well, I mean, we got... a ton of
but that's what we caught
what
them.
Happened
because we had video.
Well, then
right?
Why do we need more?
Well, because everywhere should have them, not just
the
downtown
toilet
Boston.
And everything.
No,
the
everywhere public.
Reported, the Journal had a really good story yesterday morning that said that the U.S. actually has met the quote unquote standard so far of London, which is I think been long considered to have the most surveillance of anywhere in the world.
We're as bad as London?
We're right up there.
It's a very inexact number. Like, we don't know exactly how many cameras there are, but we have the more advanced technology now. But like you said, it looks like the video recognition didn't even play into this.
But it was the video that was taken by those security cameras of these two guys very coolly walking up with their backpacks, putting them down, walking away. In the video, they show the explosion. One of them was there, was no shock at all, knew it was going to happen, that this was pretty damning, this video, and it was because of security video. So I guess the question I'm asking is...
Those were private.
Pardon me?
Those were private cameras, though, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
They weren't... Whereas in London, it's all public cameras. You know, there's cameras everywhere on, light poles and all kinds of, public infrastructure.
And that's because they're terrified of terror, right? But they've had bombs. This is a security. So I'm saying, is the guy who writes in Slate right saying,
We need more cameras. This is a good thing. This is not an invasion of privacy. You're in public. If this is valuable in preventing and detecting crime, shouldn't we have more?
Well, there's two points here. There's either A, should we be comfortable having these cameras around? And I think at this point, we have all taken, you know, when we have so many cameras everywhere on our phones, like, you know, in private businesses, I think we have kind of agreed to sort of come to peace with the fact that we don't have privacy like that in a public space anymore. It just does not exist. But in terms of a municipal idea to go and put more city cameras there, I mean, I don't know where that stops, you know, before we can record every square inch of.
And is there anything wrong with that?
It's a waste of the taxpayers' money. That's the problem.
Yeah, I don't know how good of a solution that it is, especially when really what the cops are doing is just going around to all these places that are already recording things for their own private businesses and saying, turn over the tapes, which is what Lord and Taylor did, I assume, fairly happily. I don't know whether they put up a fight or anything, but it seems like that would be the more pressing or the better solution.
What do you think, Jason?
Well, the only thing is with that is just from a security standpoint, not from a privacy standpoint, right, is that then all you have is the patchwork of all of these cameras that that just might happen to be here or there, or whereas London, if you look at it, is a network where they've planned out, right? Let's make sure we have one here and one there, and so that we have coverage and we can, you know, check we're not going to miss something. Whereas if we're relying on private ones, just like I said, taking the privacy argument out of it, just from a purely practical and planning standpoint, it's not as efficient or as accurate, right, to plan it that way or just rely on, okay, there's a bunch of private organizations out there that have these going.
Well, and who's going to watch all these cameras, right? You're going to, I mean, I don't know what they do in England, but do they have thousands of police sitting watching these all day?
Well, it's going to have to come into it soon, right? And or these are the things they're already working on, right? Where you take once you know what the suspect is. Now, first, there's the discovery. In this case, they knew there was a certain time period. I'm sure there were just a bunch of people looking during that time period to see what they could see and who they could find. Well, once they did that and they could identify a face, you know, the future of video is search, where you can take that face and then you put that in and you have algorithms searching to match that face with other you know, like faces or description, you know, rough characteristics. And so we're not there yet, but that's where this is trending.
The IRS this week said that we have the right, IRS has the right to go through your email without a warrant in the process of looking for information about tax frauds. Obviously, they would then feel like they have the right to look at every video. And yet, I got to say, I don't feel like if you're in public, you have the right or expectation of anonymity, do you? You're in public. You're walking down a street. The Constitution has no protection of privacy. It's not unconstitutional, like our chairman said. It's unconstitutional.
No, it's true. There's no.
And you're in public. It's not. I agree. We should not have cameras in the bathroom.
But why not?
I will fight that.
Why not? That's where all the crime takes place, in the nightclubs.
Pro cameras out of the bathroom.
Controversial. I think that the public should be. They should have cameras in the bathroom because that's where all the crime in the nightclubs takes place. People snorting coke and the rest of it, doing deals in the bathrooms because they know it's safe there. Put cameras there.
I have a feeling that a lot of politicians are not going to like that.
Yeah, especially.
That's where they live.
Doing deals.
There's the old wide stance.
We have a.
You know what I thought was really cool? I don't know if you guys saw the story. Gizmodo had it, and I think a couple other outlets had it as well, about the thermal imaging technology that went into finding the bombing suspect when
supposedly
he was hiding out in the.
Well, now don't give me this no agenda thing, John. I don't want to hear you say this is all staged as a distraction. This didn't really happen. There's no way.
If you listen to the last two No Agenda shows,
oh,
I think
no,
you'll
no,
have
no.
A
stop,
pretty
stop, 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 stop.
Well, I'm just saying.
I won't let you do it. That's ridiculous. This obviously happened.
Yeah.
And there was a very clear.
We know it happened, but we
don't know why.
We never saw the kid planting the thing in the garbage can. They had all these cameras everywhere. Where was the? They showed the kid standing next.
Apparently,
to
that video exists. They haven't.
Okay.
Oh man. Anyway, the thermal image we all saw, Lauren, of this kid, and it's amazing. In the boat, he's under a tarp. You can see the outline of his body. What I find interesting is that every police department and every metropolitan area since 9/11 has been spending millions of dollars on this kind of technology as part of its anti-terrorist efforts, right?
Yeah.
The fact that the Boston PD, I presume it was the Boston PD, had a helicopter with
state.
Forward-looking thermal imaging in it is pretty impressive.
I think it was state police.
Was it state?
It was state police. Yeah, it was Massachusetts State Police.
All right. They also had, of course, night vision, very expensive night vision goggles on those tax squad officers. That
$350 million to catch an 18-year-old kid that was bleeding to death. Okay. Sounds good.
Well,
terrorize the whole city of Boston. Shut that baby down because this 18-year-old menace to society is sleeping, almost dying in some guy's boat in his backyard.
But that's from
that's
the best.
But worth
they didn't
the
know
money.
That.
It's worth the money.
They didn't
right?
know that. He was driving around with bombs and homemade
bombs
hand grenades.
And grenades. Sure he was.
I mean, oh, I don't
please,
know.
Homemade hand grenades?
You've been talking to Adam Curry too often.
I'm just saying, what homemade hand grenades did we see?
Everybody thought they were throwing them out of the car in a shootout.
Did you think that was worth the effort? That we needed 150 cops on the same street in gear, in military gear, submachine guns to catch this one guy?
There is
10 cops could have done the job.
I think that there would be, if you were to take an opinion poll, yes, many people
and
would
nobody
think
nobody got
that
hurt.
Was,
and thank you.
Nobody
and
got they hurt. A couple cops got shot. And, cop could have been shot by another cop for all we know.
After that, nobody got hurt. They did the right thing. That shoot up was not predictable. But but they did the right thing. I think that it's fine to use that much force. You do raise an interesting question because, in effect, martial law was declared in Boston.
Yeah, and everybody went in hiding.
And I don't know if people have really used that phrase, but that's what happened.
We had two kids killed in Richmond. I didn't see anybody going out of their way to do anything about that. We've seen many murders all over Oakland all year long. I don't see them shutting down the city and trying to capture any of these people. What about the Mexican gangs, the Mexican mafia? These operations are terrorists. I don't see anybody going out of their way to put a stop to it. But meanwhile, they shut down Boston for one 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid who's bleeding to death. This whole thing is really suspicious.
Why do you think they did it, John? I just don't,
God. Oh, God.
No. He's right. We don't want to hear the no agenda thesis.
But if you're interested.
But
and
we
by the
did
way,
predict it was going to happen by one day, by the way. On show 500, we said on that, because it's a six-week FBI cycle. Every 6 weeks, the next time is May 27th, they pull something like this.
They.
It's my.
Yes, the FBI.
Don't engage him. Yeah, thank you.
Step away from the mic.
Listen to show 502 and 503 and 504.
There's a lot of this, and it's a very complicated issue, and I'm not going to weigh in on this at all.
And besides,
I
can leave.
I get chewed out for bringing this stuff up on the show.
No, I've never chewed you out.
No, by Adam.
Oh.
What are you talking about no agenda stuff for on the show?
And besides.
I do think there's a tech story. It was very interesting to watch the amount of technology that was used, the infrared cameras. It's surprising that face recognition wasn't very useful, but the fact that... Now, what about Reddit getting involved in this?
I would say, to me, the most fascinating tech angle on this was with the media, and not only if you looked at how much crap CNN got for their reporting, how much they were vilified on social media, yet 194% increase in ratings for CNN over the time of this manhunt.
That's when CNN kicks ass.
Yeah, but how does that compare to the other networks? I don't know.
They were barely below. So they have been slipping, trending below MSNBC over the last 2 years. They jumped above MSNBC. They were barely behind Fox News in terms of overall ratings. They were huge considering where they had been over the last couple of weeks. But yet, if you were to follow our bubble of humanity, the tech-centric peoples of the world, you would think that this was the biggest embarrassment in the history of the networks because of the dark-skinned male thing from John King and just they were a clown show according to
everybody. Everybody from Twitter to CNN to Reddit got something wrong. And unfortunately, that's just the way it is now with an instantaneous news cycle and the rush to get stuff on the air. I think we're all learning now. You don't believe everything you hear. You don't believe everything you read.
It wasn't
what
Zoe
I thought was
Deschanel
interesting on Reddit is that they very quickly formed a subreddit with those images.
Ah, yes.
And said, let's see if we can help the police track these guys down. Now, they made mistakes.
Including fingering a guy who was a missing person from Brown University.
Right.
And then jumping up and down that they had got it right when somebody mentioned it on the police scanner.
But then they correct it?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, to me, all media is just trying to get information out in the best way that your medium allows you to do it.
What's different now is that we get this stuff instantaneously.
Yeah, I mean, and the immediacy with which we can publish it. Before that whole process of working through things and speaking with sources and confirming and getting your facts straight, especially if you worked in print, I mean, that wasn't going to appear until a significant number of hours before the next morning anyway. Maybe, you know, with TV, it was always a little bit more instantaneous. But, yeah, now it's just you just hit send on Twitter, and all of a sudden you're contributing to the conversation, and there's a good chance you might be wrong.
But now I think what's interesting is that 24-hour news networks find themselves in a very, very curious position, because their great strength has always been being there first and being there constantly. That you can always go to a place where you are going to see people talking about this. And now, I mean, their great strength has never been accuracy. It's always been the fact that you can show visual images, and that they're there first. Now, they're not good at either of those anymore. They're not the best at either of those.
In fact, people kept telling me, if you want to know what's going on, go to Twitter.
I didn't watch a frame of 24-hour news networks. Not because
wait a minute now. If you just criticized them and you said you didn't even watch any of it, how do you know it wasn't
anything?
He's
right.
No. I'm just saying.
I watched it. He's right.
You're talking CNN or MSNBC, which was really
bad. Both were terrible. I ended up watching NBC because at least Brian Williams made some attempt to kind of not speculate randomly and wildly. But he didn't have 24 hours a day to fill either.
Sure.
And Pete Williams did an amazing job.
I feel bad for him.
They were trying to do old school reporting. What I thought very interesting was a lot of people were listening to police scanners. Ustream was broadcasting the police scanner. Twitter, there were a lot of people retweeting what they were saying on the scanners. And then at one point, Boston police said, please stop tweeting our scanner information. We're worried that the suspect may be watching.
And not crazy, because both the suspects had Twitter. Yeah. The older one was tweeting tweeted at a
That's
Ted
so
parody
bizarre.
Account, which just tells you how much of a Boston story this is, that the perpetrator of this heinous act wrote fake story, replied fake story to a Ted parody account after this whole thing had happened. So it wasn't crazy to think they were looking at their Twitter.
He's not convicted yet, so alleged perpetrator.
Allegedly.
Yes.
Hey, the guy doesn't even have Miranda rights. I think we can call him guilty.
Might as well just put Hitler in office the way you're talking. Did you see Erica Hill?
No, what did Erica Hill do? Now, Erica Hill is, of course, our friend. We worked with her at Tech News Today. No, what was it called? Tech Live.
Yeah.
She was an anchor there. She was my news anchor at Tech TV on Call for Help. Went on to fame and fortune.
Started at CNN.
She was the anchor at CBS This Morning. But where's she now?
Well, she's
kind of out of work.
They changed again because CBS can't get anything right in the morning for some reason. Everything else is fine. She went to work for NBC. She was going to do the weekend
today.
Yeah. But now I feel bad for her because she ended up as a stand-up outside with the mic, yakking away on Sharpton's show.
Oh, dear. That's on MSNBC.
Yeah. And so
the guy who yells the whole show.
Yeah.
The whole show is done like this. I don't know if he's deaf or what, but he does the whole show like this.
It's the worst show in the world.
Sharpton's been yelling since the late 60s.
It's the worst show in the world. And
poor Erica.
So they put Erica out on the street just before they rounded up these guys. And cars are zooming by her. And she almost gets hit.
Oh, dear.
And it's like, oh, man, poor Erica.
It was not broadcast news' finest hour.
It was pretty
bad. Was it? Social media's finest hour? No.
No.
Was it Reddit's finest? Somebody in the chat room said, as a Redditor, I think the best thing Reddit did was send pizza to the police department in Boston.
I'm for that.
It was nobody's finest hour. You got to admire, though, I know you may not agree with me, John, but the police from all different districts who did, in fact, get the guy, they took him alive. It must have been a very scary thing, knowing
we'll see
that
how long that lasts.
Brother had a...
You're bringing it up.
Oh, man.
Let's move
CNN
on.
CNN really hurt their brand on this, I thought.
I think so, too.
They went quicker to information than really any of the others, and they were wrong.
And they made
so
a lot
often.
Of mistakes as a result, yeah.
But
Brian Williams got a number of things wrong.
And then they went and they were talking about how, and now the police are saying, don't go stop reporting their stuff from the police scanners when they were the ones doing it just a minute ago, right?
We want to do it.
Do you think that it would have been as egregious if CNN also hadn't gotten the Supreme Court healthcare ruling wrong too. I mean, this just now it seems like it's.
She has a point.
It hasn't happened three times.
I don't think they hurt their brand. I thought their brand was fading. That's why their ratings
are
already so lousy.
Hurt.
Well, it's true.
This was confirmation.
They did nothing to help it. The real winners in this, I thought, were actually some of the more local media. Right, Boston.
HTH did great. A lot of the Boston.
No, I thought the Globe's Twitter was stellar. I thought that they
Boston
were...
Oh, the Globe. Boston Globe.
Yeah, the Globe's
amazing.
Twitter was great.
Can I just point out, though, that while all this is going on and we're all glued to this, CISPA passed the House.
Yeah. Ta-da.
That was clever.
Of course.
Do you think they were actually did that on purpose?
No, I think it was...
That was just when it was scheduled to be voted on. Yeah. It was convenient,
though. It's nice, though, that it was...
It's nice.
That they slipped it in.
So, CISPA...
And by the way, everybody is for this thing. I mean,
Google's for it. I'm shocked.
Microsoft, everyone is on board with this thing.
So what is CISPA?
Well,
it's a fascist law. It's essentially combining corporations with the government, which is the corporatism, which is fascism in the traditional sense. And that's what we've got.
The Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act.
I like the sharing word.
By the way, as soon as you see that name, you know we're in trouble.
Sharing.
Would allow for the sharing of internet traffic. I'm reading from Wikipedia. It would allow for the sharing of internet traffic information between the U.S. government and technology and manufacturing companies in order to help the government investigate cyber threats and ensure the security. Well, what's wrong with ensuring the security of networks against cyber attack? That sounds like a good thing.
Sure. No, it sounds fantastic.
all sounds good.
So let's see who's for and against. So EFF, Electronic Frontier Foundation, against. ACLU, against. Fight for the Future, against. Even libertarian and conservative groups like the Competitive Enterprise Institute, Tech Freedom, FreedomWorks, Americans for Limited Government, Liberty Coalition, and the American Conservative Union are against.
Why would you say sentence?
It's the left and the right combined.
As usual.
But who's for it? Microsoft, Facebook, AT&T, IBM, Apple, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Well, and these are all people that have stakes in the game that could theoretically benefit from draconian measures.
Is this SOPA Part 2?
I think it's going to end up as SOPA Part 2. I think that you're going to
see...
So
the point is not cybercrime. That's a red herring. The point is to stop piracy?
I think it's just to stop crime.
Crime, including piracy.
I mean, the law enforcement agencies, especially at the highest levels in this country, since they tried to put these eavesdropping systems in, which they ended up installing, are just looking for ways that they can, stop crime, before it happens. It's not, pre-crime, but actually, spy on everybody, and then it makes your job easier. If you're working in law enforcement, you really don't like to do any work. You have to go out in the street with a gun. It could be dangerous. It's better to catch these things, nip them in the bud by spying on the entire U.S. population.
So the vote.
So that's kind of what I've been thinking about was, okay, who's pushing this? Who needs this, right? That's what I was trying to untangle as I looked at this. And that's actually similar to what John said. I have to think it is law enforcement that wants to be able to do warrantless searches, right? And that has to be who's pushing this. Why would Google and Microsoft support it, though? And, that's what's curious.
It seems to me they would support it because the heat's off them. Same with Facebook. I mean, there's a certain exemption of liability then on the part of the tech companies when it's the government that is requesting, access to this private information as opposed to the big bad tech company that wants you to share everything.
Let me correct myself, though. Google it did support an earlier version of this bill. They have not taken a position on the current version. They say there might need some work. But Microsoft, Facebook, AT&T, and everybody else is. It's interesting because this passed the House a year ago. They couldn't get it through the Senate. In fact, President Obama said he would veto it. It passed last year 248 to 168. Passed this week 288 to 127. Increased House support, despite the fact the president still says he'll veto it.
Is he going to?
I don't know.
It might get killed in the Senate. It probably will
get killed in the Senate. They couldn't get it through the Senate last year.
The Senate has been killing everything.
So, I mean, it's going
they're
to
killing
depend
it. Is
on
that
how
saying?
Much.
I think it could
Senate,
be.
They're killing it.
They could.
No dog, you're killing it right now, Senate.
Yeah, I guess you're. I see. You're being funny. I didn't get it. I get it now. It's good. That's great.
Just to explain, Lauren, that John and I have worked together for many, many years.
And I've never heard him do a bit like that ever.
Anyway, what do we do? There's a lot of Andy Sispa websites. Some have talked about another internet blackout.
I'm not for Sispa.
I'm not convinced of that.
But I mean, how many times are we going to change our avatars? And
I'm not changing mine. I went to the blue green thing, and I've stuck with that.
I'm still the red equal sign. Is it time to change? I'm not sure.
This is the kind of thing, though, that companies that are going to the cloud, right, are really scared of, because what it means is, if you have, you know, Google Apps, or if you have, you know, Microsoft 365, Office 365, and your data is there, and instead of you being subpoenaed for your data, for, you know, e-discovery, and then you get to, you know, get your data together and submit it to the government, instead, they're going to go straight to Google, they're going to go straight to Office, and they're going to get your data, your company data, your customer data, before you even know about it. So this is, you know,
Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook funded a new little political action committee that Google, Yahoo, and Microsoft also supporting it. It's called TechNet. Yep. This is the letter written by TechNet to the House committee that was drafting the bill. This is from Google, Yahoo, Microsoft, Facebook. The bill recognizes the need for effective cybersecurity legislation. I'm for cybersecurity.
Who isn't?
That encourages voluntary, not on your part, by the way, but on the part of the companies with your information.
Oh, yeah, voluntary.
Voluntary, bi-directional. Real, you just like the word bi.
I mean, real-time, it's getting steamy up in
real,
this bill.
Voluntary, bi-directional, real-time sharing of actionable cyber threat information to protect networks. If it's to protect networks.
Actionable.
But voluntary, bi-directional, real-time.
Sounds like gobbledygook.
What did we just learn about real? But what did we just learn about voluntary, bi-directional, real-time information sharing on Twitter, Reddit, CNN, and MSNBC?
It sucks.
It sounds like the way that error. Somebody would solve a problem on Star Trek.
Prone to error.
Activate the bi-directional sharing.
Anon, of course.
Switching to B.
Anonymous is calling for an internet blackout tomorrow. #CISPA blackout. I doubt
there
will be.
What is that supposed to mean? What kind of a blackout?
Well, what we did with SOPA, remember, a lot of sites went dark. This was something that Alexis Ohanian, founder of Reddit, created and was very effective. We didn't go dark, but we went black and white, which I thought was pretty effective that day.
Oh, the halfway thing.
No.
You were still protesting, but you weren't going to put yourself out of business.
Well, I mean, the point
was
let the
money roll
was
in.
To get the money we had continuing to roll in.
We had information to share with our audience about.
I see.
Okay. And really, I mean, the more important element of that was calling your congresspeople, right, educating yourself on the bill, and making your voice heard.
And that's what we should do now.
I mean, yes? That's what I did for SOPA.
Does the fight go now to the Senate?
I called my representatives.
Do you write
it goes now to the Senate. But and few people believe that it actually will pass in the Senate. But if it does, the White House has said it would veto it. You know, you've got, as you mentioned, the ACLU speaking out against it, saying that it's too extreme. VFF, Electronic Frontier Foundation, saying that it grants these broad new powers, and it's they just hate it.
the front page of the let me go back to it, of the Electronic Frontier Foundation, shameful. CISPA passes in the House, battle moves to the Senate. If you go to EFF.org, you could read about it. Their issue is that it undermines privacy, frankly.
It seems unlikely, but this is kind of a war of attrition, right? It is related to the stuff that we saw last year. And obviously law enforcement is behind this and keeps pushing this. And if it fails, and it's likely to fail, it's clearly not the end of this.
No, this is going on forever until it passes.
I think they're going to keep hammering on that wall.
Yeah, they just keep changing the name until they get the perfect name.
Every time something happens, as happened in Boston this week, it makes it a little bit easier as people get more and more afraid. And eventually it's going to happen. Because people are going to say, "Well, we're just going to give up these personal freedoms because we need the security." Do you not agree?
I mean, that's what happened with the Patriot Act,
right?
You know, I mean,
should have been reversed.
Everything that was in the Patriot Act, law enforcement wanted for years and years and years, but you couldn't get it done until you had a big reason to say that's why we need it.
So all the technically savvy people watching now who understand why this is not a good bill need to write their member of Congress, especially their senator, and write to the White House.
I like
and
to
say,
call them.
Call them. You know, don't email.
Hey, Bill.
They want a postcard postmarked from their district.
Yeah.
Or a letter.
Yeah, no, email's useless.
Yeah, because they can't verify if you're a constituent.
Yeah, so, last time during the big SOPA blackout.
Calling's great.
Yeah, I called then, I think it was Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Marco Rubio's office and asked them to please stop it.
I turned the
Where
station
do you live?
I used to live in South Florida, so in Broward County.
Marco Rubio. That's a good man. I feel like he should be hunting gators.
Wrestling them.
We're going to take a break. We have a great panel. I'm so glad Lauren has realized that just jump right
She'll
in.
She'll never be here again.
We're thrilled to have you, Lauren Good, from All Things D. Justin Robert Young.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you. We're not done, by the way. This thing is going to go on for at least another couple of hours. So if you want to get a snack, maybe a power bar. This is
still to talk about the chickens.
The marathon has just begun. Jason Heiner from TechRepublic.com. John C. Dvorak, Dvorak.org/blog. I snuck that one in.
Good one.
Yeah.
That's a drink for people. Boom.
Belt. And speaking of belts, Justin Robert Young, NSFW, Woo! The one of the contributors to the number one comedy album of the year.
Yes.
I want to see you and Brushwood accepting a Grammy Award for that album.
I certainly don't think
that's
true.
Dream.
I think that's my dream. That's a false dream.
I know them. The one in the wrestling mask. That's my friend.
They won't take your call.
We actually
after
have a
that.
Clip if you're ready for
Let's
it.
Let's hear it. This is. Are you going to beep it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you were going to turn into an animal, what would it be?
For what purpose? Like just to roam the plains for a day?
All
or
of a sudden, on your door comes a gentle rapping.
Oh, it's
Hello.
A monkey paw.
It's me, the animal fairy.
I don't
want to be the
fairy.
Sorry, animal fairy walks in. Animal fairy is dressed in.
For those of you listening on it, we're actually seeing them.
Like a homeless person.
Sock puppets.
Sock puppets.
Like, I'm pretty sure this is a homeless person.
He's got
person.
One glass eye that spins around whimsically.
Nonsense.
Like
Mad Eye Moody. Sure.
I'm the animal fairy. I've got magic powers.
Who does this?
Okay, this up, is Jackie fairy. Hearn in the chat room.
Jackie, we love you.
Well, first off, do you have any food?
No, I don't. I'm going to shut the door on your face now.
Too bad. By the way, when I said your door, I meant your bedroom door, not your front door. I've already been through your fridge and I've ate food. I was testing.
He's turning
honesty.
Into the spoon guy now.
Sure.
All right, we're going to. That's enough.
Okay.
That's
right.
enough. Yeah.
That's enough. You can find it on
iTunes.
It
goes on for days, apparently.
You want more of that?
2 hours of nonsense. Only $4.
It's a good deal.
Hey, that's a nonsense per dollar ratio. You're
Fantastic.
Rocking and rolling, baby.
Fantastic. Our show today brought to you by people who pay actually greenbacks, American U.S. dollars, to be on this show. And I'm talking about stamps.com.
Not bitcoins.
No sirree. This is good old-fashioned American dollars. But you're going to save some money, and you're going to most importantly save time. And business time is money. And going to the post office is probably not a high priority for you or your employees. If you do mailing in your business, invoices, mailers, if you're shipping, doing fulfillment, shipping products, maybe you're an Etsy seller, eBay seller, you got to know about stamps.com. It's postage on demand. It prints real U.S. postage from your computer, from your printer. You don't need a postage meter. You don't need ink. You don't need anything. You just need a stamps.com account. And I got to tell you, they do everything for you. They fill in the return address. You can print right on the envelope with the postage, the return address, and it'll even take the address of your recipient from the web page if you're selling on Amazon, eBay, Etsy, PayPal, you know, many, many more sites. Or if you're using QuickBooks or your address book, it'll just put it all in there. So boom, 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 boom. Prints out those envelopes. You can have your logo on it. It really looks good. Any class of mail, media mail, first class mail, priority, domestic, international, it doesn't matter. Stamps.com will do it. In fact, they'll even fill out the forms on the international mail. If you're doing express or priority mail, it'll send an email to the recipient saying, here's the tracking number. This is professional fulfillment, and you do it right from your own desk. You don't even have to get up and go to the post office with the package. The mail carrier comes and gets it. You could schedule a free pickup anytime. Stamps.com. Now, here's the deal. Go to stamps.com. And instead of spending time at the post office, you're going to spend time growing your business. You're going to click that radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and you're going to enter our offer code TWIT, T-W-I-T, and you're going to get a $110 bonus offer. This is a very good deal. You get that scale, the digital scale, USB scale. You get the $55 in free postage to be used over the first few months of your account. You get a supply kit and, of course, a four-week trial of Stamps.com. Absolutely free. Stamps.com. Try it today. Use the offer code TWIT for the best deal. Much better than the one on the front page, I might add. Stamps.com. Android, according to Eric Schmidt, on track for 1 billion total activations later this year. He says they are now activating, what was it, 1.5 million phones a day? This was at the Dive Into Mobile, All Things D Dive Into Mobile conference this week. That's an amazing number.
Crazy talk.
A billion.
I mean, I think the thing you have to remember is a lot of these, I'm an Android fan. I'm not bashing Android here, but a lot of these are people who don't really realize they have smartphones, right? I mean, they're mostly making calls with this and occasionally texting and that kind of, it's just Android is the new standard
OS. It's a free OS. And so,
Right.
Phone companies in the third world nations that need to make a cheap phone, this is what they choose.
Yeah, and in the U.S. too, right? There are lots of people with Android phones that aren't using them like smartphones. It's why usage numbers in terms of like apps downloaded and you know, other statistics like web time and, you know, those kinds of things, you know, Apple's still doing well.
So mobile Safari is dominant on the web. It's like,
Yes. And it's because people are maxing those out as smartphones. They are using them as smartphones. And that's not a knock against Android, because Android is obviously winning the sort of the foot war here. But there are lots of people who are going to sort of grow into smartphone usage with an Android device in this way. And they aren't already sort of, you know, maximum power users with for whatever that's worth.
I got to tell you, though, I just got the HTC One. I love it. And thanks to Google Now, which I think is the killer app for Android, by the way. I know the Giants won the game.
Yeah, I like that thing.
I mean, Google Now knows what I'm interested in. Somebody was telling me they were visiting a city and it told them how to get, you know, how long it was going to take to get to the airport just because it knew where they were and knew what they were up to. But is that creepy? Is that scare people?
Well, I mean, that's the constant double-edged sword argument with Google, right? Is that they are at times clumsily handling you or handing you information based on your interests. But the fact that they are taking so much information in how you interact on the web is, you know, a little unnerving. But I think that I agree philosophically, we're moving far closer to the point where we care less about the fact that everything we do online is tracked, because that's been true for a very, very long time.
It's always been true.
I think Google Now is brilliant. I think Google Now is brilliant. I mean, it is one of those things that has a major aha moment. There's a lot of things nowadays that, especially those of us that have been using technology for so long, you know, there's not things that surprise us that much. Google Now, when you sort of realize and you have your aha and it sort of puts a ticket up for you or tells you you need to leave for that meeting, it's going to take you 25 minutes to get there, then all of a sudden you're like, holy crap, I didn't, you know, how did that thing, you know, how did it know that? And I think it's excellent.
Lauren, you were going to say something?
I was just going to say evidence of the fact that people care less and less is when you look at the number of third-party apps that are trying to do the same kind of smart, you know, notifications on your smartphone and predictive things like that. I mean, we're seeing that with smart calendars and personal assistants for the iPhone, apps that are touting themselves as that. And people are, you know, consumers download these apps and then they say, do you mind if we access your contacts? Do you mind if we access your Facebook and your Gmail and everything else? And people say, sure, because that's how you're going to do, this app is going to do what it's supposed to do. And I think if you just look at it's still a small number, but the growing number of consumers that are willing to give away all that data just to get an app working properly, I tend to agree with Justin. I think, you know, that you're seeing the standard for privacy go down.
Well, I guess, is it maybe just that we are upset when we are when data is collected for us and then it doesn't do something we like, right? Like if it collects all this data and then gives us a good product, we're like, yay,
yeah, give me some value.
Take more data.
Right. Give me some value.
You know? Absolutely.
You know, it's when it's like,
doesn't warn you and you miss the train and you're like, oh, this stupid app didn't, Google Now didn't do what it was supposed to do.
Or just like the cookies that
stupid Google Now.
It's just like all the Google ads, the display ads on websites that do nothing but inundate me with billboards for services that I just subscribed to.
So we don't mind.
Yeah, I find that annoying. You just bought something. They keep trying to sell you it again.
It's like,
no, what
it's
I like about
give you value.
What I like about Google now is I look. I'm going to go someplace the next day. I look something up on the Google Maps on Google. And then when I get to my phone, the phone knows I looked this place up and it already has a navigator right. ready.
Is that great?
Yeah, but I think you're going to see more of that across mobile devices and web browsers in the future. And I think that is a pretty cool feature of Google Now right now. But it wouldn't be surprised if you just see more. You look up something at home and it sends it to your mobile device, provided that you're using the same system.
So Facebook's trying to...
Too, yeah.
Go ahead, Jason. I'm sorry.
I stepped in. Safari's going to be doing it soon, right?
I think this is one of the things that Apple is clear it wants to distinguish itself from. Where's that echo coming from? From Google.
It's Google.
Google's echoing me? No, I think Apple is very clear. We don't want to do this because we want to make sure people understand that we're not snooping on them. Don't you think that's what Apple's trying to do?
I don't know. I mean,
no app can do it because Apple won't let them. So it's got to be Apple or nothing.
Well, I think Apple, I mean, this is part of the reason why I think they are contributing to the fact that they've lost their edge in not only
Well, look at the stock market. Google went up on Friday. And how Apple much? 5%. Apple went down 1%.
Oh,
now, some of that's due to Google's earnings call, but...
it's due to the fact that like people are not excited for the next Apple product. You know, it doesn't have...
It's a quiet period for Apple. Look, Apple's going to have some big announcements, you know, coming this spring. And I'm sure that's going to get people excited again. I would be shocked if that didn't happen.
I agree with you. I have total faith that they will.
I don't.
However,
I don't.
It has not happened. And the last couple announcements have not been exciting.
When it comes to Apple, though.
Are you going to say I'm biased?
You know, I think you're biased. No, really, because you have.
It's more like I'm jilted. It's more like I love Macintosh. I loved it. When the iPhone came out, I abandoned my BlackBerry and I bought an iPhone. I bought every iPhone after that.
And then they banned you.
It has nothing to do with that. No, Apple, I'm not that petty.
Blackballed you.
I'm not that petty. I do think, though, that I, and I'm not alone in this, feel a little jilted. I bought a Mac Pro 2.5 years ago, never updated. I have the newest iMac. I have the newest iPad. But I don't feel like I'm seeing that kind of innovation. And I think those of us who expected Apple to come up with a great product every time are going to be disappointed. I think that time is over.
And it's been software.
It's not because Steve Jobs is gone. It's because times have changed.
It was Steve Jobs that banned you and blackballed
you. All this talk is the best thing that could happen to Apple. Because all we're doing is we're lowering the expectations, right?
Yeah, and they better hope we do that.
We're lowering the expectations. I agree. Justin, I think you were just trying to say that it's about the software.
Yeah.
And I completely agree with that. I mean, I think that some of the stuff that Google is throwing out there now is a little bit, it's for the high tech crowd. And some of it feels maybe a little bit gimmicky on some newer devices, right?
The Samsung, don't blame Google for that. That's Samsung.
Excellent point.
Again, they're leaving the show.
But I do think that there's a lot of innovation going on right now on the software side, and Apple's going to have to work really hard to make something special, you know, that we're going to see. It might not just be about a different sized iPhone or a cheaper model of iPhone or something like that. It might have something to do with how innovative the software is.
I think Apple has a problem because they backed themselves into a corner. And they can't do the privacy, because of the privacy things they've said, they can't do a Google Now. Because of their some of the things they've committed to in terms of the iPhone, keeping it closed to developers and stuff, they have actually backed themselves into a corner. And I think it becomes very hard for them to innovate at this point. You're not going to see a 5.5-inch iPhone.
Look at the native apps on iPhone. Look at Calendar. Look at Mail. Look at where some of the smaller acquisitions and innovation is going on right now. Look at what happened with YouTube last summer. That was a native app on the iPhone until then. Look at the weather app. Some people just say, well, why isn't it a widget? And why is it always 73 degrees in Cupertino? They're little things like this, but you're starting to see other companies leapfrog.
Who's making the best software on iOS today? It's Google. It's Path. It's not Apple. In fact, Apple's software is fairly weak compared to the best of class. In fact, Apple's lost the home screen battle. And if you look at Siri versus Google Voice, Google has, they started out behind and they've pulled ahead. I think Apple has shown.
I might be the only happy Siri
in trouble.
User.
They're in trouble.
I love
think
Siri.
In trouble.
I use
really
Siri
do.
Every day.
I agree with a lot of the points that are being made, but think about, you know, all of the people that Apple has, all of the things that have happened at the company over the past sort of 6 months to a year. We've gone through this really long quiet period with them, right? Think about the last time. I mean, the iPhone 5 was the last big announcement in the fall, right? Yeah, I've got to be thinking that they're working on a lot of things and probably making some fundamental changes, because obviously, for all the reasons that you guys have talked about, there's some major, they have major threats, you know, coming at them, and they have to deal with it. I find
your romantic notion of Apple charming.
It's not.
I'm with him.
I think you guys are living in hope. That's the old Apple. I agree with you. Apple's done that time after time. I don't think they're going to do it this time.
It's not hope. Well, this time we'll know, right? When they they're gonna know this spring. They're gonna obviously have some announcements.
When are they gonna upgrade the Mac?
The pressure is on them to deliver innovation, and they got to deliver it with software and services, really more than hardware, as Lauren was getting at. And we'll see. I mean, because they've put a lot of effort into whatever they're working on, and you know, this is sort of the first. We're sort of getting past what Steve Jobs had been working on stuff right now. That's about what we're about to see this spring, and it's going to tell us a lot about where Apple is.
We may learn as soon as Tuesday, because of course Apple's earnings call is coming up this Tuesday.
And that's what's tanking the stock price.
It's nervousness, because nervousness. We have no reason to think they're going to have a bad quarter. They had a bad quarter last quarter.
Yeah.
But historically, that's been a tough quarter for them, Q1. Nobody wants Apple to succeed more than I do. We need competition. I love Apple. I bought a lot of Apple hardware over the last 20 years. I want them to succeed. But I just think that they've lost their mojo. That's my opinion. And we'll see what happens.
You're not the only one who thinks that.
Obviously, the stock market.
Oh, no,
thinks
so. Certainly
right.
Not.
Stock
I mean,
market
not,
thinks
I don't,
that.
I don't want them to succeed, but I think it's also maybe a little too soon to count them out. I think we got to see what they do this spring.
Right.
That's going to tell us a lot about where they're at.
Right.
I want them to succeed. I'm not a journalist. I can say that. I want them to succeed. I'm a fan of the company.
You can be a journalist and say that. People do it all the time, apparently.
It's actually good for journalists. It's good for humans to have competition. We don't want Google to be number one. We don't want Facebook. I put Facebook Home on this phone.
Oh, you did?
Holy cow. I was just about to turn it. Holy cow.
Gosh.
Was that a blunder?
Is that a bad cow or a good cow?
Intervention.
I took it off.
Going?
Do you like it, Lauren? What do you think?
I haven't really used it yet, but I'm curious what you think about Chathead.
It's not on here right now. I have to push a button to make it on here.
Chathead?
Chatheads, yeah.
What's
Chatheads?
You can get Chatheads now, by the way, on iOS as well. So Chatheads is once you start a conversation. And by the way, the new Facebook Messenger doesn't just use the internet. It will also use SMS. It's cross-platform. But once you start a conversation, the little Dvorak head would stay on my screen persistently on top of other apps.
Who wants that?
At all times. It's a little weird, and it does it on iOS. But you have
this
to be
exactly what I want.
In
all
Facebook.
All my Facebook friends to be able to interrupt me at any time, no matter what I'm doing in any app. You know
so, I'll tell you what, though. I think we just might be on the other side of a generational line.
That's
when
what
it
I'm
comes
wondering.
To, when it comes to communication. I mean, if you saw today, it's in the rundown, but like WhatsApp is saying that they have comparable traffic to Twitter. And there is a generation for whom just relies on like iPod touches, and just all they want to do is communicate with people, their friends, without having on Wi-Fi networks.
How come they
without
not
paying
wiggling
for
around and moving
you know,
that's,
any kind of,
that's because they don't have real work to do. Like tell them to go do their homework, right? I mean,
okay,
well,
sure.
Let me John's
get
looking
the
at
hose.
Let me show you the Facebook home, and I'll show you a couple of things that I have problems with. So my Facebook timeline becomes the front page. This is the front page of the phone at all time. If you want to run an app, but if you don't want to do something with Facebook but want to run an app,
look at that thing. Just turns off every 2 seconds.
Well, I turned it up, but I'll turn that down. You have to drag your head to apps, to Messenger. If I drag it to apps, I get a subset, not even a full set of the apps by default. I have to go over here to see all my apps. And it's not easy to do. Facebook said this is people-centric, not app-centric.
Yeah.
And it really is like your
because
Facebook homepage.
Because they have control of people, not
right.
apps.
It's like your Facebook home. And I can swipe people off.
Woo!
Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful. You can't do this on an iPhone because Apple won't give you this kind of control. So if you want chat heads on the iPhone, you have to be running the Facebook app at all times. I can like, without leaving, I can like or comment on an image.
So these are all images that are coming in through your feed.
This is my Facebook stream. Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's beautiful. I don't know if you'd want to live in it because, you know, you're basically Facebook, and then it's hard to get. You want a Google search? You got to swipe, go over, do this, check.
Well,
this.
But that's what they want. They want.
It sounds
people.
Like a car accident waiting to happen.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't do it while
be,
I'm driving.
Be too
that's
sucked
for sure.
into the Facebook home to be driving.
Well, actually, now it's kind of compelling. I am enjoying these large images of my friends here. This is really.
Leo, wake up.
Well, oh, sorry. Hey, some people got Google Glass, not me. Did you? Did
no.
you?
No.
Did you? Did you?
I thought you did.
I did not.
I thought you said you had...
Robert Scoble got glass. Oh, I have a reservation.
Oh, reservation.
Oh, I have a low number reservation.
It was to devs, though, right?
Oh, no, Scoble?
You know what? They're giving
Why
it
is
Google?
Scoble getting one?
Well, Mike...
You know, I think it's because he might chat about it a bit.
Well, I have a little...
So what?
I have
He's
a little
got more clout
show.
Than Scoble.
True, but...
They don't like me, that's all. I'm just saying.
Well, you're kind of standoffish.
I'm a whiner.
No?
No?
No, you're standoffish.
Well, anyway.
You don't answer your email. You probably were given an opportunity.
At Google I.O., we got the reservation on number 737. I've got the paperweight to prove it. They have been sending... There's 2,000 people who got those reservations at Google I.O. They've been sending them out. But according to Drew Olenoff, who got his and is a much higher number
This was last year's Google I.O.?
Yeah. He's a much... He says they're not sending it out in order. Drew got his, but did I get mine? No. But I'm not bitter.
So what was Drew's number?
Much higher than mine.
So you have 737. I've seen this.
I know.
So what happened between
Robert didn't
you?
Even have a number.
What happened
oh,
between
Oh, you're trying
you
to egg
Google?
Me on
No,
again.
I'm not. I'm
yeah,
just
you
wondering.
Love it
this
when
obviously
I want.
Something bad happened between the two.
We're going to take a break. We'll talk about glass. And already, I knew this would happen. And if there's only a handful of people who have it, we're already seeing the social networks flooded with hashtags seen through glass and bad pictures of people's families at a weird angle because it's taken from your eyebrow. It's just the beginning, folks.
The but beginning we'll talk- of the end.
God, it's horrible. We'll talk about it. And if you're worried about cameras everywhere, wait till everybody's wearing Google Glass.
Oh, yes.
Constant streaming. Constant streaming.
Spurned again.
Actually, I think the reason I'm not going to get the glass is because Jason Howell. Is he having a baby right now? Is his wife having a baby?
I don't know. He gave up and walked
there
out.
There should be a website.
Does Jason have a baby yet?
Yeah. No.
Because I think that the problem is that the email from Google is going to go to him, and he's got a newborn baby. He's not going to be paying attention to his email.
It's going to go right to the baby.
Our show today brought to you by our friends at Citrix. GoToMeeting is the way we meet now. Anytime we're meeting with clients, it's great for clients and for colleagues. So if I want to do a sales pitch to somebody and say, hey, wouldn't it be great if you bought ads on Twit? We got a PowerPoint presentation. We got a media package. We'll set up the call, and it's so easy to do. I send them a link in the email. They don't have to do anything. They don't even have to install the software ahead of time. They click the link. The software installs. 30 seconds later, they're seeing my screen, so they're seeing the presentation. But even better, they're seeing my face because with HD faces now, we've got a beautiful HD imagery. I see their face, which I'm telling you, if you're doing a pitch, is great because you can see if their arms are folded, if they're smiling, if they're frowning. When you're doing team meetings, I know people keep GoToMeeting running all day because their team is spread out all over. It's how they stay in touch. It's how they work together. It's just fantastic. GoToMeeting.com is the way to meet. If you're not using it in your business, you really got to try this. One of the best things is you can now attend meetings on not just your laptop or your desktop, Mac or PC, but anywhere, smartphone, tablet. You can present from your iPad. You can join a meeting using the built-in internet connection, the camera and microphone on your iPad or your smartphone. It just really makes it more efficient. Projects that take weeks, decisions that take days, all done then and there, because you're all meeting together and having a croissant at the same time. And that's what I'm looking for in meetings. Free croissants. We love GoToMeeting. We use it like crazy. You want to try it 30 days free, visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Promo code is TWIT. If your boss is not cognizant, is not aware, you must try. Tell him or her about it, because it really is great. GoToMeeting.com. You want anybody want to make predictions on Apple's earnings call on Tuesday? Will it be up? Will it be down? Any thoughts?
It'll be up.
They'll be up. They will be. Because you know what? They had such a bad Q1 as expected.
You mean so they'll be up on Q1 or up year over year?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Probably year over year, I'm guessing.
And it's been the trend, right?
So can I ask you a couple
sales
questions?
Sales will be fine. Sales will be fine.
Sales will be okay? Yeah. People still love, in the U.S., the iPhone and the iPad. Yes, John C. Dvorak.
What's this?
It's funny. You found the box, didn't you?
Yeah.
Habanos, hecho en Cuba.
Yeah.
They're Cohibas.
What?
It's empty. I have them
just
at home.
Just smell the box.
It's really, they're amazing
smell
cigars.
That. Hold on.
I want to thank Paul, who sent me these. He said, he sent me an interesting email. He said, I sent you an email about 4 years ago offering to invest $1.3 million into Twit to help you, you know, build the studio and so forth. And he said, you never responded to my email, so I invested in Florida real estate.
Hey.
And lost it all.
Look at that.
But I'm still sending you a box of cigars.
Who is this guy?
Wait, hold
Paul.
On.
I need to meet Paul.
I know.
Exactly. And by the way, you didn't respond to the guy who wanted to give you $1.3 million.
I thought he was a Nigerian prince. What did I know?
Yeah, you guys say he's from...
Who's to say that if you're going to find the glass email?
Justin.
So I need to find this guy, Paul, because if he can get those Cohibas. Now...
Honestly, Justin, if you get an email from somebody who says, I want to invest $1.3 million in your comedy album campaign...
Well, sure.
What are you going to do?
But I'm a braying mule. No one's going to give me $1.3 million. You are a respected figure
exactly.
in tech journalism.
I'm a braying mule. No, you know what? I'm so sorry. I left these at home.
Oh, yeah.
No, I really am. I would have given you... They're really good.
I'll take one.
And it is contraband. I believe it's contraband.
Yes, totally. I believe it's. Yeah. But the funny thing is most of the Cohibas are forged. They're fake.
No, this is real.
No, it's real because you got the stamp. If you don't have the stamp,
right?
If you don't see the stamp, you got fake goods.
Este producto puede ser dañino.
That's the real deal.
This is like your own Jay-Z moment.
Yeah.
So I always
this
have to take
became
some...
a real boys club, huh?
Yeah, I'm really sorry about that. But no, wait a minute, Lauren. Are you making the false assumption that only guys smoke cigars?
No, but why don't you send me one? Why don't you send me contraband in the mail then, Leo?
I will send you a Cohiba just for you.
So you got any extra gaffer's tape?
Extra? You know, this stuff's expensive. You can't just come in here and take our gaffer's tape. Why? You want some?
I need some. Yeah, I need some gaffer's tape.
Are you going to do that thing? Apparently, it's a meme. I didn't realize this, but I see it on Instagram now, where you take off all your clothes and you tape yourself up with black
tape.
That's
what I'm going to do, yes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Wait, what? What meme is this?
Maybe I'm following the wrong people. I don't know. It seems to be there's a lot of pictures of people...
taped.
With black... Usually, though, it's electrician's tape, not gaffer's tape. They'd be smart to use gaffer's tape because it removes easily.
Yeah, no, gaffer's tape is great.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about Windows Blue next, right?
Do you have a case of it? Is that you have lots of gaffer's tape? Because you should use
John,
it
do we have a ton of gaffer's tape?
What do you need gaffer's tape for?
Well, I'm asking him. Are you going to do this photo thing?
Yeah. Are you going to be taping up your naked body, John C. Dvorak? Dvorak
Well, that's
blog?
A disgusting thought. But no, actually, because I'm changing my stereo gear and I need the gaffer's tape.
A likely stereo.
How about Xbox smartwatch?
That won't work. Now, you can't tape it with the smartwatch.
I want to say if you do an image search for tape and bathing suits,
yikes!
This is a very popular meme.
It's
right
a
now.
Very horrible looking meme in this case.
By the way,
it's
a gaffer's tape party over here. JCD.
We got gaffer's tape. Apparently, we have enough gaffer's tape to go around.
Wow, we're going nuts.
Everybody take some gaffer's tape.
You have a box of
Firefox OS.
But isn't this fair? Yeah, I know. Just be patient, Jason.
Look at this.
John, isn't this fairly expensive, this gaffer's tape?
Holy
How much per roll is gaffer's tape?
Look at the gaffer's tape. You got enough gaffer's tape to last a lifetime.
This is a television studio. We need gaffer's tape.
This is the weirdest sideline I think I've ever seen on Twit. Just
gaffer's
a 30-minute
discussion.
Conversation about gaffer's tape.
All right. Just enter in hashtag seen through glass.
Yes.
And I think you will see why I am not thrilled about this proliferation of Google Glass heads.
Okay. But like the first photos taken off an iPhone weren't exactly amazing, right? And I'm not and this is just to say that I don't know if the first things we're going to see are going to be the best uses of them.
Okay. That's
fair. You're making an excuse for this product already. You working for this company?
No. In fact, I will go the other way. I don't think that this is a consumer product. And I think that the fact that they're kind of treating it as like a hybrid between...
I wrote a column in PC Magazine where I openly said, I hope this fails.
What? Why?
I think it's a dreadful product. People walking around
like,
with these idiotic glasses
on, bumping
into each other.
It does feel like a product in search of a solution in search of a problem.
Yeah, what's the problem? I want to take photos
This is the Pebble Watch. So this does some of the same things. So the idea of the pebble watch is you tie this. Have you used this, Lauren?
How much is this thing?
No, I haven't actually.
They're $150. I got it for less.
It's got a rubber thing. It's not even leather.
No, it's not exactly a classy watch. You look kind of like a nerd wearing it.
You are a total nerd wearing this.
But it has e-ink, which is kind of neat. Now, I've tried the other Android or iPhone.
It just changed from 430 to 434 to 435.
You know what's cool? Somebody sends me a text, an instant message.
Does it have a touch screen?
No. It comes in on my watch. It vibrates. Somebody calls me, it'll vibrate my watch.
Yeah.
So I can control my music from the watch. I actually kind of like it.
Everyone that I know that has it is disappointed.
No.
I was prepared to be disappointed. Maybe because I've used these other, like the IM watch, which was horrible. Yeah. At least the experience of pairing it to the phone, it works with Android or iPhone, is pretty good. And it's kind of cool. You know, during the radio show, our call screening apparatus failed. So they started using instant message to send me callers. I was getting the name of the caller on my watch.
That's cool.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah. No, I'm in agreement with you on this, even though it seems like a cheap production.
It's of necessity.
It's got little
menus. We have different watch faces. I can scroll through the watch faces.
I've heard, though, that if you get multiple notifications or emails coming in at once,
like a rush of emails, you'll miss a bunch.
You can't then scroll through them again.
No, it's one at a time, and it's kind of lame that way. I just downloaded a few of these. There are many more watch faces. You know, this was a Kickstarter project. They raised more than $10 million
to make this thing.
Wow.
A year ago, they were funded. They finally came out. I just got this. It took them a long time to get the watch out. Others have gotten there sooner.
And you had to downgrade from a color one to
I ordered
the black
a red
one, right?
And that's why I didn't get it till now. Apparently, they're having trouble with the red, so they sent me an email saying,
"Yeah,
can we send you a black one?"
Oh, by the way.
It was interesting. You know, this whole watch thing is really, really interesting. I was in London last week, and I had a conversation with Steve Ranger, who's our EIC for London, for ZDNet and Tech Republic. And he did this great gallery of the history of kind of the smartwatch, right, and the products that are kind of
You remember Microsoft did this, the Spot Watch?
Oh, yes. I had one of those Spot Watches.
Horrible.
It was big. The thing was huge. Yeah. It was the biggest. It could stop a bullet. I mean, it was, you know... If I was in Boston this week, I could have, you know, protected lots of cops with that thing. It was huge, and it was not very good. It didn't sync well, but you could look at that as the precursor of this thing. But that sort of left a bad taste in my mouth, because even I reviewed that thing so many years ago, and now I'm still trying to think, you know, how could these things be useful? And what Steve and I came up with as we were talking about it is there's sort of two pieces. There's either the sort of third screen thing, right? It's another screen, so you don't have to take it out of your phone out of your pocket. Or there's the kind of Fitbit thing, where it is your more like your Jawbone Up or the Flex. Fitbit Flex is coming out with their wristband. So it's almost those two pieces that are making this interesting, and maybe they'll merge, but it almost seems like the products are going one way or another with those two.
I think the reason it's interesting is A, because yes, we've seen so many bad ones. B, because it was the first really big successful Kickstarter project at $10.2 million. C, because it was supposed to be e-ink. By the way, I correct myself. This is an LCD screen.
Even though
they said it was going to be e-ink, it's just a black and white LCD screen. But mostly it's interesting because Apple is rumored to be doing one, right? And so the real question is this in any way a prototype of what an iWatch might be? Or is there something Apple could do that would make this
make it much better? Make it a phone.
Frankly, I can't recommend somebody's...
Wasn't the point of Pebble 2 that it wasn't supposed to be entirely proprietary? It works with different OSs, correct?
It works both with any Bluetooth device, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, with Apple, we'll definitely see something a little bit more proprietary, to start. I think what's going to be interesting is to see whether or not they do, as Jason mentioned, you've got now the Fitbit Flex coming out, and you've got the Jawbone Up, and you've got this small addressable market, but growing market of wearable fitness devices. And if Apple makes a quote-unquote iWatch, if it's going to incorporate some of those features too, because then you've got, I think, a larger target audience for that sort of thing.
Blood pressure.
This was supposed to be, they in their pitch said it would measure mileage, it'd be a runner's watch, and they couldn't get that in. They had to leave that out.
It's a tough thing to do, and as you mentioned, we've seen a lot of people try the smartwatch and fail. Yeah. I mean, Sony's tried it a couple of times too, and haven't really done a great job with that. And I think one thing you know is that if Apple does do it, it's going to work, at least. So that's a good place to start, right?
Well, and I guess that's kind of the difference between what we would hope to see with something like an Apple Watch and what we are seeing right now, which is very interesting to me with Google Glass, where, you know, now there's just always this constant, yeah, that's an interesting idea. It's cool. I'd like to get my hands on one. But it's $1,500. But they're only giving to people on a crazy Willy Wonka wish list. But the EULA says you can't sell it, or even after it's publicly available, you can't put it on eBay.
They'll brick it.
Yeah, they're going to brick it because it's all tied through Google stuff, which is very weird to see Google trying to do a consumer-facing product, but having all these limitations for which when Apple puts out something like the iPhone or the iPad or hopefully an iWatch, it's just going to be, hey, here's a cool thing. Buy it if you like it.
Do you remember the Timex Data Link, John? Did you ever have one of those?
Yep.
That was the watch that you held up to the screen, and it stopped working as soon as LCD screens became popular. You couldn't use it.
I thought it was very creative.
You had to use it with a CRT.
Right.
You would hold it up to the CRT, and it would program the watch with your contacts or your calendar.
By blinking at it.
By blinking really fast.
Yes. Oh, what?
Yeah, it was cool.
And you can't do it with an LCD, so they just went out of business. It was gone. It was done. I had a Data Link.
It was out for a couple years.
1994 they came out.
And you could put your address set on there and a bunch of other things.
Yep.
You held it up against the screen and
here's the image from on Wikipedia.
I think I still have
mine.
See
that little camera at the top.
That was one of the Microsoft watches. Look, this is a different one. This is the original Microsoft watch.
Well, but it was from Timex. Yeah, it was the
Right,
Data
it was
Link.
The Timex.
They partnered with Microsoft before Spot. And that's why they came up with Spot, because they said, well, we can no longer program it from the screen, so we're going to have to do some sort of radio thing, and they used the vertical blank.
I think it was
blank.
Still doable to program it from an LCD screen
was
under
it?
Some circumstance. Yeah.
I remember that
there was no... They
never made it work.
Right, but I still think
maybe
it
could
is
have.
Somehow doable.
Yeah. Well, what they ended up using...
The most interesting thing that Apple could do with this is turn it into an ecosystem, right? Where that watch, if they are in fact doing one, and if it does in fact have this Fitbit like capability, is that it is something that could interface with other things, right? Exercise machines, other equipment at the gym, where they work with those providers and they have an API that lets them tap into it and that sort of thing, the way they did with the accessory makers for the iPod. I think that's the most interesting thing. That's a long game and not sort of something they're going to, have in place next year or this year. That is an interesting long
game. I'm going to be stunned if they bring out a watch. I just don't think they're going to do it.
You know, I said the same thing about an Apple TV, and they never did it. There seems to be much stronger evidence. I mean, reliable sources are saying Apple's got 100 people working on this. I agree with you, John. It doesn't seem like a good product.
No, it doesn't.
I should point out that Apple, we kind of let Lauren get away with it. She said, if it's Apple makes it, it's going to be good. I got to point out, there's quite a few products Apple has made.
It was gonna be good.
No, she said it would work.
I didn't say it was going to be good. I said at least it would work.
Like Apple Maps work. And there's quite a
few. Still work.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Don't give me that. I know we did this test.
No, I think what Lauren's saying is they'll spike it, right? They wouldn't release it if it was if it was bad. Sorry.
Depends
how much money they put into it. You can't spike something if you've got 100 people working on it.
I don't think that this is going to even...
I think
this
the tablet.
Is bogus.
By the way, Jason just swore. Should we take a shot?
Yeah, everybody gets a drink.
Boom.
Okay.
Boom. Have some of that Boyac. Yeah.
You should take this to the house and drink it tonight.
It's a 2005. I should drink it in 20 years.
No, this is a second wine. They're always designed to be drunk earlier.
Oh, well, let's open it up.
No, please, don't open it up. You have it for dinner. You don't.
I'll have it for dinner. Drink it. I'll have it as dinner.
Now you're talking. What I said was I didn't necessarily say it would be good.
Okay, it would work.
I said that if there's some sort of notification system between, let's say, your smartphone and the watch and maybe your iPad or whatever it might be, I have some faith that notification system might work better
than
some of the previous products we've seen in the market, whether from Microsoft, Sony, Pebble, or otherwise.
Apple does ecosystems well.
I'm going to be stunned if they bring out a phone that is not a watch that's not a phone.
So
Dick Tracy.
That's what people want, right?
I don't.
No. You want phone capabilities on your watch.
You want to go like this, hello?
No, you don't. Nobody wants to do that. There are zero people on planet Earth who want to go, hello, sir.
What is wrong with that person?
I bet you said that nobody would ever want to take a picture with an iPad either.
Yeah, or use that phablet. Hold one of those phablets.
The phablet?
Yes.
Who would ever want a 5.5-inch phone
besides you?
I raised my hand. And boy, you see everybody taking pictures with iPads these days. It's kind of a bane. This is why I'm worried about Google Glass.
It's a chuckle moment every time.
Wait a minute. Oh, shoe phone. So the Apple shoe phone. A member of our audience is holding up his foot and has taped his iPhone to the sole of it as a way of communicating to me the word shoe phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. Well, I like it when the audience interacts.
The Apple shoe phone would be cool. They can do a deal with Skechers.
Did he use gaffer tape to tape that to his?
Would you like some gaffer tape, sir? We're handing it out to everybody today.
And then when it fails at their next earning call, they can say, missed it by that much.
Very good. I thought you were too young to even remember Gitsmart.
Come on, man.
I'm impressed. I know Lauren is. Although she looks like age at 99. I want to say that.
A little bit.
Wait, a lady never comments on age, but who is, let's see, I'm going to have to do some Googling here. Okay, you guys go back to talking.
Agent 99?
Oh, now I feel really
old. Hold on. I'm pulling it up.
She's Googling.
Sure, don't worry. Nine, huh?
All right, Agent 99.
I remember those days.
Barbara. She's very mod looking. She's got cool bangs.
Barbara Felden. Yeah, she had bangs. But
it was Anne Hathaway in the remake, right?
Anne Hathaway in the remake, yeah.
I had to Google that, too.
And there we go off the track, ladies and gentlemen, at 4:46.
I interviewed Anne Hathaway for that movie, actually.
I'm so jealous.
She was Agent 99. Yeah, and she was lovely. I don't know why everyone hates Anne Hathaway so much because she's.
Oh, I don't know.
She seems
like a real doll.
She's my imaginary girlfriend.
I thought Taylor Swift was your imaginary girlfriend.
Taylor Swift? Take a look at Taylor Swift and tell me she doesn't look exactly like Donald Trump. I'm telling you.
What?
Get that. Just put that image in your brain next time you see her, and you tell me she doesn't look like Donald Trump.
You ruined it
for me. Firefox OS, anyone?
I need it right now. Let's find out what's coming up on the week ahead, Tom Merritt.
Look at some of the things we'll be keeping an eye on in the week ahead on Tech News Today. Of course, Monday, April 22nd is Earth Day. Not sure if any news will come out of that, though. Tuesday, April 23rd is a big day. Apple has their earnings. Everybody's got their eyes on that. Also, AT&T has their earnings. The game Black Rock Shooter heads to the PlayStation Network.
The
startup
Thank
conference
goodness.
Next kicks off in Berlin. Wednesday, April 24th, the Samsung Galaxy S4 launches on T-Mobile USA.
I'm buying that.
And Zynga announces their earnings.
Why not?
Thursday, April 25th, Ubuntu.
That was the old tech TV building, by the way.
You guys only had a floor, right?
Friday, April 26th, Samsung announces their earnings. And Saturday, April 27th, the Samsung Galaxy S4 comes to Sprint in the U.S.
TechCrunch Disrupt kicks off with their hackathon.
That's a look at the week ahead. Back to you, Leo.
Tom seems a little subdued. Wait a minute. Oh, my God. Donald Trump. Which one's Donald Trump?
Oh, come on.
Put a little lipstick on that
pig. Anything like Donald Trump.
They have the same hair.
It's a gestalt. You'll start to see it.
No, but here's the truth. When Taylor Swift is Donald Trump's age, she might actually look like Donald Trump.
Sure.
I think that could be the case.
I'm going to say, I'll go with Stevie Nicks. She'll do better than Donald Trump. She'll age well.
She'll look like Stevie Nicks.
She'll still be singing about her angry ex-boyfriends. It'll be angry ex-husbands at that point.
Why would anybody date this woman?
No, she's a young person, and she's adorable, and she's wonderful. I love Taylor Swift, and she's my Instagram buddy.
What?
Well, she doesn't follow me.
Really? But
I follow her.
But you just enjoy her Instagram work.
I do. I feel I know her.
Yeah. You're killing it right now, T-Swift.
So Windows 8.1, codename Blue, will be out in August. And according to Mary Jo Foley and her sources at Microsoft, Microsoft is going to change Windows 8 and bring back the desktop. They'll have a boot to desktop.
It's not
feature.
The first thing that when this thing first appeared on the
They
horizon.
Swore they would never have boot to desktop.
Now people are saying, why don't you just drop the desktop altogether?
Well, go one way or the other. That's kind of my opinion, too. Either make it a touch interface and throw away all desktop computing,
right,
which I think would be a mistake.
Throw away the company, yeah. They might as well sink the stock.
Or get rid of this crazy touch stuff, because it's a hybrid operating system. Now, it's two of them glued together.
Yeah.
Totally
crazy talk.
No, I think they, I said this when they released this, it should have been two products.
Exactly.
If you would have done Windows 8, if it would have taken all the core stuff they did some nice stuff with security, with the way it, you know, boot times. They did some really nice stuff. If they took that stuff, put it in Windows 8 or Windows 7 as it was, and left the desktop as, you just boot into a desktop and use it like a normal computer, I think actually that a lot of people would have been pretty happy with.
Yes.
And that,
especially
and then you
take their enterprise
Metro,
customers.
Yes, it's exactly right.
With that one.
Which is
yeah,
a
right.
big customer.
Yes.
Right.
And then
right.
you take Metro, whatever we call it now, modern UI.
Modern
and,
UI.
And mm-hmm. put it on RT, and you have tablets, and you the OEMs that are doing their tablets, and do that. You know, that it's interesting. It's useful as a touch OS. It is kind of innovative. I think they would have been fine if they did that. I don't know. Now trying to go back and do that is a little more challenging, but certainly I don't think it's out of the possibility that they could split these into two different things and still do, you know, moderately well with it. They've hurt the brand, and they've confused users, and that's where this is going to run into trouble.
Windows 7 was really a great version. Of
yeah.
Windows and Windows 8, it's just
less is more.
But
it's
it
a
does
hybrid.
Boot fast. It boots
there's,
fast.
But
it turns
there's,
off.
There's, it's got some... right. Well, then I think I agree with Jason. If they had made a Windows 7 like interface on top of the improvements of Windows 8, then they would have.
So
had
what
a,
do you think they were thinking?
Because they were very concerned that the world was going touch. That they were buying into this post PC paradigm. How do you like the alliteration?
That was good. It was very
beautiful.
So they were buying into
the
that
radio show,
and they were saying, "We think the world is going to tablets, and we better have an answer to that."
Well, I think Jason's right. Yeah. The answer is to have what is the rationale
is,
for just
they were so afraid,
shoving this exact same thing down everybody's throat.
They were so afraid that no one would buy a Windows RT tablet that they even put the desktop into Windows RT and a full version of Microsoft Office, like. Here, buy one of these Surface tablets because we'll give you Office for free. This was like an
Oedipal thing, right? It was like they were so afraid of what the iPad, what it was eating. The iPad was eating the bottom out of the market,
right.
In the PC market, and they knew that. And they were so afraid of that. They were like, this is going to kill the market. And so they went and made this radical move, you know, boldly and bravely to a degree. But because of that, it actually hastened the iPad, you know, eating the bottom out of the market even further.
There was a lot of attention paid to the fact that not only are they going to supposedly allow a boot to desktop, and Mary Jo says that she thinks that may be in the enterprise, the business version of Windows 8 only, not in the home version. But they also said they're bringing back the start button, and Mary Jo and Paul on Windows Weekly this week were very clear to explain that's not the start menu. They are not bringing back the start menu. They're putting a button on the start bar that takes you to the Metro start screen.
I've said it before, and you've said it on your radio show,
yeah,
apparently,
yeah.
is the classic shell. It's available at classicshell.net,
right. yep.
if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
It's free,
yep.
and it turns your Windows 8 experience into a beautiful Windows 7 experience. It never goes to that crazy Metro interface, boots to the desktop, stays there unless you force it. To go to the other thing, that horrible Metro thing, and it makes the machine beautiful. It's great.
So where would you guys say, if you're going to put a grade? I mean, with this news out there that they are going to retract a little on one.
And Microsoft has not said this, by the way. But this is a scoop.
But assume the rumors
right.
are true.
Right.
This is a damnation of Windows 8.
Well, that's
right?
my question. Are they now? Are they backing off? Because they were all in.
Right? Yeah,
I think they still are all in.
Yeah.
But I mean, but especially for enterprise, because enterprise is where they are doing well, you know?
They are all in, and the PC market dropped 14% last quarter, the largest drop in
history.
And
I blame Windows 8.
I think it certainly has to. Some people say, oh, no, it's the iPad, it's the mobile devices. But I think you have to blame Windows 8 a little bit.
Yeah.
Microsoft's earnings, the Windows division was flat, but that's only because they took some profits from pre-sales and things. The actual numbers were very bad.
They jiggered
the numbers to make it look like they were flat. They weren't.
Right.
I mean, the reason why this is why things are kind of so brutal for them right now from a sales standpoint is just that so many people that have a Windows machine, even if it's 4 or 5 years old, is good enough to do a lot of the desktop stuff that they need. Right. They have no reason to upgrade, and this has been the case for 5 to 10 years almost, and where all of the growth was coming from in PCs up until about 2010 was in second devices, right? Netbooks played into that, buying a separate machine or laptop for your kid, one for your den, all of that. All of that was where a lot of their growth was coming from, and then the iPad happened, and instead, the thing that you were buying was that sort of second and third machine and the machine for the kids and all that. Well, it started that with tablets, with the iPad and other tablets, they started buying those instead. And so that's where Microsoft got hurt. And unfortunately, their answer to that has been, was this sort of form factor innovation. And the problem is people aren't buying it. They don't want that instead of these other things, and that's where they're in trouble, and that's where, we're still waiting to see something innovative from them that people want to buy.
And by form factor innovation, Jason, you're referring to touch. You're referring to convertibles and touch and that sort of thing. You're not referring to like the whole Ultrabook push we saw for 18 to 24 months prior to that, too. Which of course they weren't touch. So
right. Right. And like the Pro, which I think there was innovation in that it's the first machine that I used that interestingly and kind of effectively, it has a lot of other problems, but you combined keyboard and touch and even pen, which I'm not a big pen fan, but the pen actually works pretty well on that thing. And so that was their answer. But by and large, the masses and even enterprise have not bought into it. And that's where they're in some trouble right now. Mm-hmm.
I have to say, I bought an Ultrabook with Windows 8 on it. It has a touch screen. It's light. It's thin. I love the hardware. And Windows 8, I really tried for 3 months. I said, I'm going to use it natively. And I did it, John. I put Start 8, which is from Starduck, but the same idea. And now I have a Start menu and a desktop, and I'm really happy. It's just like Windows 7.
Yeah. And it makes you.
I can still use touch, you know.
And the underlying operating system is a little snappier.
You know what's better? Copy works.
It's got some cool features, but you still need this. What is the point? The desktop model, the metaphor they used to call it, began in 1981 and was so useful. It's like saying, let's change the car and take the drivers, we can maybe universalize it, put the driver in the middle with the steering wheel in
Big
the middle.
Mistake.
Let's do this after 30 years of standardizing on something. This 32 years have gone by when everybody has pretty much adopted this kind of desktop to do computing, and that now they want to change it out of the blue to these crazy full screen apps and all the rest. There's people that hate computers that are thinking this way.
I have to say, you called it when you saw Windows 8 before it was released. You said it's going to be a big flop.
Yes.
I have to say, I think it's time to call it on this one. It's a flop.
Yeah.
Yeah,
nobody wants it.
I mean, John's right, but on the other thing is though, John, if they didn't do that, everybody would be talking about how tired and old the metaphor is, and the fact that they haven't done any innovation. You know what I mean? But they have this problem. Microsoft has this problem of how much innovation is enough, and how much is too much, and how much can they stick with the old stuff and get away. That's where the challenge is.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. There's always this criticism, and I've made it myself. And one time I wrote a column for Mac User years ago, making up a bunch of crazy metaphors that could be used on a computer. But for the most part, there are other ways of doing innovation besides changing the graphical user interface so drastically. I mean, there's plenty of room for improvement, like in the Microsoft Office, for example. What about PowerPoint? This talk about something tired. I mean, can't we do something with this? Or there's a lot of possibilities here, it seems to me.
But I think Jason's very, very correct that they were in a position where now you are still seeing an evidence to back it up that this is a post-PC world. And if they did nothing but shore up Windows 8 as a Windows 7 kind of refresh with these sort of changes, you would have said, well, congratulations, you're still on a sinking ship. And so they made a bold move. It didn't pay off because it wasn't good.
They're the ones who shot the holes in the boat. I mean, come on. This is like, the post-PC. Thank you very much. They became part of the problem.
They did.
How about promoting the I wrote another column. I read too many columns. Where is the promotion for the real the desktop PC, the modern desktop PC, which is a powerful machine with a lot of processing power and three monitors or four monitors in some cases, but at least three monitors where somebody can really do some power work instead of promoting the idea of doing all your computing on a phone when you can actually be sitting down. And most of the power users, nobody even talks about them anymore. But most power users have a pretty honking machine, and they usually have three big monitors, and they do a lot of major work, and they get a lot of work done very efficiently. I don't ever see Dell advertising this configuration. What? I don't see HP advertising this configuration. These guys put themselves into a hole that dates back to 1999, and they wonder why they can't sell machines. Give me a break. It's marketing.
It's too small.
I mean, it's true, but it's
yeah, is it a growing demographic?
It's all still the same machines, though. I mean, and John, you're right. Look, I was walking down London last week, and I was thinking something similar. They have like all the ground floor. It's like there's a lot of windows, and you can see in, and you actually see all these people working. All of them are using desktops. Now, these are almost all like banks and financial institutions, like in downtown, you know, city of London. And I was looking at them, and I was thinking, like, they're all using desktops. And I was like, but then I looked closer, and like all of them are at least like 5-6 years old, right? They're all these really old machines, and they've got like these dual monitors, you know, like 2 19-inch Dell monitors from, 2008. And so I think that's part of the problem is they're still using machines that are good enough, and they're not refreshing them. And that's what's putting the PC industry as a whole. But it is a good point that is still what the configuration people are using that get work done on a regular basis. And eventually there will be sort of some refresh cycles that feed that.
We're going to take a break, come back with more. Jason Heiner from Tech Republic, John C. Dvorak, channeldvorak.com. And that show that you do.
NoAgendaShow.com.
That's the one I was trying not to remember. Also, Justin Robert Young from NSFW and from All Things D. It's Lauren Good. Thank you so much all for being here. We're not done yet. More to come. But first, a word from Squarespace. The best web hosting out there. The best content management system. It's smart, it's fast, it's mobile responsive, so you make one site works great on everything. That guy with the 2 30-inch monitors down to the little 4-inch tiny little iPhone screen and everywhere in between. And now Squarespace has e-commerce, so if you're looking to be creating a web store, and by the way, if you're not and you got a business, you ought to be, because that's where the customers are. You really ought to check out the e-commerce offering from Squarespace. They have nailed it. First, go to squarespace.com. Set up your site. There's a try it free button. You get 2 weeks free. You don't even give them a credit card or anything. Just all you have to do is, there you go. That's the screen. All you have to do is click the Get Started button. You can import your content from your existing site if you have one. Play with it. Get to know it. See what you think of it. And then if it's time to buy, I want you to use our offer code TWIT4 because you'll save 10% off your first purchase. And look at these prices. Look at these plans. It's simple. Three plans, $8, $16, $24. Let's just talk about the top of the line. $24 a month, what do you get? Complete e-commerce solution. They do not take a cut of your sales, by the way. Unlimited physical and digital products. You could sell CDs and MP3s, hardcovers and e-books. Mobile store. Looks great on mobile. Absolutely. In fact, every one of Squarespace's mobile responsive templates works with their e-commerce system. They will help you with inventory tracking. They will calculate taxes everywhere. They will handle shipping. You can do coupons. And you get unlimited pages, unlimited galleries, unlimited blogs, unlimited bandwidth, unlimited storage. This is $24 a month with an annual plan, $30 month to month. It's unbelievable. If you don't need commerce, take $8 off, and you've got a great solution with the unlimited plan. Everything unlimited, just you don't have the commerce. Squarespace is incredible. I got to tell you, if you're ready to start a blog, it'd be a great thing to do for somebody who's got a wedding. Jolie O'Dell. She and her husband, they were going to do a website. Was it Jolie? It was somebody. I think so. And they used a special wedding thing, and it never worked. They went to Squarespace. Never goes down. Always up. Great site. If you know somebody having a baby, if you just want to start selling online, there's nothing better. Squarespace.com, the most powerful and flexible e-commerce solution I've ever seen. And it's just $24 a month when you sign up for a year or $30 for a monthly plan. Do get the year plan because it was Veronica. That's right. Thank you. Chat room always knows. It was Veronica Belmont and Ryan Block. They had originally, Ryan was on the show. They said, we set up a wedding site with some service provider that does wedding sites. This is something for you to remember. You yes. And Ashley, any day now.
Jesus.
I scared the hell out of him. Did you see that?
Yeah,
he turned white as a shit.
He did. It was weird.
I got a comedy album.
Yeah.
That's focusing on Squarespace here, Leo. Come on. Now. Jeez.
He's being very quiet because we will not let him do commercials on NSFW anymore because he gets us in such trouble. Do you want to compare Squarespace to Jesus? You can.
No, listen, I...
Thank you. Squarespace.com, offer code TWIT4, take 10% off your first purchase, make it the year plan, and they'll even hook up the domain name and all of that. Squarespace.com. Nicely done.
I try.
Number one comedy album on iTunes right now. It's called?
Night Attack 2, Enjoy the Garden.
Is there...
Enjoy the Garden.
I don't know. I'm just going to download it and listen.
It's a non sequitur. We actually, speaking of weddings, me and Brian were at a wedding.
You got married.
I did not. I unfortunately did not get married. I attended a wedding with Brian, and it was at the Berkeley Botanical Gardens, and there was a big sign
beautiful.
That said, Enjoy the Garden. And we thought it was very funny.
Oh, so it's tied to a wedding.
Yeah.
Very nice.
The picture that's on the cover of the album was taken at that wedding.
Oh, that's very
involved
nice.
Lucha Libre masks and fake mustaches.
They had a wedding with fake mustaches and Lucha Libre masks?
Lucha Libre masks.
Yeah. I'm thinking of Macho Libre, the movie.
Sure. Nacho Libre.
Although it's different.
Although it's about the Mexican wrestling style Lucha Libre.
So there actually is somebody named Lucha Libre?
No, that's a kind of wrestling.
Oh, it's a kind.
The masked, Mexican wrestling. Yeah, it's called Lucha Libre.
Moving along, let's see. Just checking to see what stories we've missed so far. Viacom, we mentioned this in our This Week in YouTube show earlier. It once again loses in their $1 billion lawsuit against YouTube. I don't know how long they can keep this going, but they say we're appealing. It'll probably go to the Supreme Court. That Funny or Die Steve Jobs movie, I, Steve, is out. Anybody seen it?
Oh, what is it? It's like 7 years long.
No,
have you
is
seen it?
It?
No, it's like I saw the running time of 70 thing, minutes, right? And I'm like, stop
it's
it.
It's a movie. It's a real movie.
Well, good for them.
With Justin Long
70 minute.
Funny or die.
It's 80 minutes.
It's 80 minutes.
80 minute bit.
So no, it's a full movie. I don't know. When I think of Funny or Die, I think of fun, hilarious short clips.
For Christ's sake, we get 2 hours out of lame tech news. I think they could get an hour and a half out of Steve Jobs.
Leo, yeah. Did you watch it?
I haven't seen it yet.
And that's the point. Did you see it? No one's seen it.
Did you see it, Lauren?
No, I wanted to do this show instead. I had to budget my time. I said, can I get 2 hours to Leo, 2 hours to Justin Long? And I chose Leo over Justin Long. I feel like that was the right choice.
You are a goddess.
Very wise.
I'm dumping that Anne Hathaway right now. And Taylor Swift, sorry. No time for you.
You're out.
Yep.
You guys are never, ever getting back together.
In fact, he knew she was trouble when she walked in.
I am the bad boyfriend that she keeps singing about. Forget that John Mayer guy. He has nothing on me. Nokia's Lumia hit record high sales, 5.6 million units in the first quarter.
Record sales for what?
For Nokia Lumias.
Well, good.
I'm surprised they got that many.
It's a good number, but nothing compared to like 30 million iPhones. And
I'll tell you, I parked for a record number of times on April 21 here in Petaluma.
A new record.
One time, 100% increase
over
previous times I've parked in Petaluma.
Pretty impressive.
It's crushing the iPhone in Poland. Don't forget that.
That's right. Remember? So this is the funniest thing. They said, who was it that said this? In four countries, we are...
Microsoft.
Microsoft said in four markets, not countries, four markets were number one.
Crushing the iPhone.
So what, it's Poland?
These are places where they don't sell the iPhone,
yeah,
I take
some
it.
Neighborhood in Kazakhstan.
I gotta look this up.
There's a flea market in Moscow.
You're pretty close.
Where it's doing really well.
Russia was one of the markets.
Yeah.
Do you have that, Jason? Do you have
huge in Zimbabwe?
I'm pulling it up. Yeah, we covered it. I'm pulling it up on ZDNet real quick here.
Yeah. Because it was a kind of a funny, and somebody said, "Well, what countries?" And one of them is a region, is an Eastern European region.
Yes, it's a block.
The block.
Yeah.
One of them, I think, was Russia. Anyway,
well, let's get it, somebody.
It's in seven countries. Okay, so actually, here's the
quote.
Microsoft.
Sure.
Yeah.
And this is Microsoft's chief counsel or somebody like that. I can't remember.
I think I've heard it in Latveria. It's huge.
Latveria, it's big.
Yeah.
Sorry, let me pull it. Do you need the link? Do you want me to?
No, that's all right. Just tell us.
So, Microsoft trumpeted that it outsold that the Windows Phone platform had outsold iPhone in seven markets.
Wow.
Those markets were Argentina, okay. India, Poland, Russia, South Africa, and And the seventh market was a collection of countries, including Croatia, that IDC labels the rest of Central and Eastern Europe.
Wow.
But that's well, good for them.
Winning, so great.
India is a big market.
Winning, probably because they're not selling the iPhone in India, would I would guess.
Yeah, that would be my guess, too.
And they're giving these things away, right? What are they, $14? You can trade a ham sandwich for it?
Apparently.
Yeah, it is the lower priced one. So we have a writer in Poland that went, you know, and sort of delved into this, right? And so the writer in Poland, you know, kind of sort of came up with the fact that it's and that and obviously it's price, right? It's a much, they're selling it at much lower price, and the iPhone is not being subsidized in those areas. So there you go.
It was Frank X. Shaw, corporate vice president of corporate communications at Microsoft. Then dropped it just as a like a offhand comment in a blog post. And then people said, well, really? Where? And that's it. That's the answer. Hey, you got to find the victories where you can.
Hey,
you know what? I like Windows
Phone. Good for them.
I like Windows Phone 8. I think it's a nice platform.
I've never been.
Very pretty.
It's very pretty.
It is very pretty. It's smooth. It runs nice.
It's solid. Yeah. It's solid.
These are all things we could say about Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift is solid, too. I don't know. I don't
should get into the conversation.
Solid.
Twitter cuts off Flatter. Flatter is a weird kind of micropayment service that gives money to people if you get favorited. I have some Flatter dollars.
I got some money. I got some like a dime.
Yeah, it's not a lot of money.
Well, it's better than nothing.
But it's a Swedish startup. It was an online tip jar, used Twitter.
So it's a, what was the deal with it?
It tip a dime to your favorite content producer using like on Facebook or favoriting on Twitter. Twitter was the biggest service for Flatter. Twitter just said no, sorry.
So they would.
So this is the second payment service that Twitter has cut off like in the past week or so, right?
Twitter wants it all.
Well, I mean,
Twitter,
are they?
Twitter has this habit now of saying, you know, no, really, develop for us. Oh, sorry, but we're going to close you off there.
Psych.
Just kidding. But my question is, so I understand it's a kind of a different form of currency, and you're getting paid for favoriting. But who really wants to exchange
Flatter dollars
on Twitter anyway? Yeah,
right.
That's what I don't get. I mean, there are a lot of interesting companies out there that are doing different forms of mobile payments through SMS, whether it's like Venmo, which is acquired by Braintree, or look at tons of companies in this space right now.
And those, and that works really well.
Twitter money exchanges.
But this is not a money exchange. This is more like, I like John. I want to give him a little bit of money. It's kind of like a
10 cents.
Just
actually.
Give it to him. He's right
it's
there.
A dime.
Yeah,
tip him a dime.
Right here. Just give
here's
me
a dime,
kid. A dollar.
Buy yourself nothing.
You
a shoelace.
You know, and no one's getting a fee on top of it. No one's getting
exactly. He's going to bite the dime.
Twitter also killing TweetDeck. Now, you may remember the way they acquired TweetDeck. Bill Gross's Idea Lab was about to buy it. Twitter zoomed in and offered him a ton of money, because not because they wanted TweetDeck, but because they didn't want – what was Gross's Twitter company? He said, we're going to replace Twitter, basically.
Well, you haven't heard that before.
He bought a bunch of the clients. Remember, he bought up a bunch of those. He bought a bunch of the clients up.
Right. And so it looked like he was making a play to like be Twitter. If you have the clients and then you offer a side service, then people start using your side service, and you can. So Twitter bought TweetDeck for a lot of money. They're killing it. On May 7th, Android, iPhone, desktop, Air, and Facebook integration of TweetDeck.
Boom.
That Air app, I really hated all Air apps except that original TweetDeck Air app. And there still has been nothing that's quite as good as that original, in my opinion, TweetDeck Air app. There's been a lot of things that have tried to match it, including the TweetDeck sort of native apps, and some others, including Hootsuite and some more. None of them have been as good or effective or had as many really useful features as that original TweetDeck Adobe Air app.
They were the first to have columns. So you'd have your home screen, you'd have your mentions, you'd have your direct messages, you could build searches, and you'd have a full screen. You could even devote a whole second screen to it. It was a great solution. And
what is Twitter's
the hell out of
this? Does anybody think that Twitter, besides myself, jumped the shark already? It's really
No, they're huge.
Well, I know they're huge.
Boston.
Yeah.
Everybody, and it, you know what? What's interesting is
how I followed everything.
The real people are using it.
Yeah.
Technorati, maybe they moved to Google Plus or somewhere, but real people now are using it.
Yeah.
All the kids have moved off of Facebook, right?
I can't see it growing anymore.
The funny thing is now kids are using it instead of Facebook because their parents and their aunts and uncles
they don't want to be on Facebook.
Cousins and stuff are on Facebook. And so it's almost like I see this funny thing with like my with some people in my family who I won't mention, but their Facebook has these kind of antiseptic updates of, you know, they're working on their homework and doing that. And then over on Twitter, they're talking in their, you know, the way that they really talk when they're with their friends, right? And so
who knows how to make a pipe out of an apple?
I do, actually. It's very easy. You got a little foil, a little apple? Yeah, no problem. Sure. It's easy.
So what do you guys think about the Twitter music announcement this week?
I think it's
I actually like it.
Finally, we have another way to buy music. Hooray!
Yes, there's not enough ways.
The proletariat rose up in singular cheer. I've been looking for a reason to buy music.
I want to know when Leo is listening to Taylor Swift on repeat. And now
you can now know what I'm listening to. Music.twitter.com. There's a web interface. There's an iPhone app. You can follow the people that you know, or you could follow popular people. It isn't just, by the way, a way to buy, because you can tie it into your Spotify.
Yeah. I think it's a good skin or interface for that. If I had that, I would be excited to see this new way to aggregate the very valuable data that is on Twitter to make my subscription worth more. But I don't have one of those, and so I don't.
So then you can buy it at iTunes. So in that case, you're right. It is pretty crappy.
I'm just not sure yet. If this was a swimming pool, I'd still be in the shallow end, you know, trying to sort of figure out how warm the water is. I'm just not sure what the deal is with it yet.
Well, I think if you contrast it to, say, Apple's Ping,
yeah,
it's what Ping should have been, right?
Yeah, true. Yeah, low bar there. Yeah.
So this is what people who I know are listening to: Justin Timberlake, Maroon 5. LMFAO, Nelly.
Yeah, it's all things I can imagine you listening to, Leo.
These are people. So, okay, I know.
This is like the most eclectic list ever.
Because it's people I follow.
Yeah.
So then what good is it?
Well, because I might say, hey, gosh, Jimi Hendrix, I never heard of him. Sure. Let me listen to that.
Who wants to pump some party rock anthem?
Look at Tanya Hall's listening to Cyndi Lauper's True Colors. That's a song I haven't heard in a
while. That's why I love you.
Let me listen to that.
See, and this is like a time waster.
It's a big time waster, but so is music in general.
Not necessarily.
Music is not a product. Oh, what do you listen to?
Classic.
Yeah.
Classic what?
Music.
Classical music?
No, classic.
Classical music, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Debussy, you know, that sort of thing.
Okay, yeah. No, because people say classic and they'll mean like John Fogerty.
Well, I like John Fogerty, but no, that's not what I'm always listening to stuff. Basically, I have a classical music station since 1970-something. I've had a classical music station playing 24/7 in the front room of my house.
Okay.
John, don't you have like
never
more,
turns it off.
Music?
No, I never turn it off.
He never has turned it off since 1970.
Yes.
Pretty much.
That's a long time to run a Pandora station.
John, do you feel the need to share that with people when you're listening to it, or field recommendations from people online when you're...
No, not really. No.
Right?
But if there were a wine Twitter where people were recommending, here's what I'm drinking.
No, I have a problem with. That sounds good at the beginning, and then it becomes a cacophony. In fact, this is what happens.
This is a cacophony right here.
Yeah, and so you get the recommendations are good when the connoisseurs are there by themselves, and then the public comes in with their lame recommendations. No offense, public, but generally speaking, most people who drink wine don't know what they're doing, and then it becomes a mess, and it's like you can't sift through it, so you just go find the expert or two that at least you can agree
with. I have to say, though, and we were talking about music recommendations a couple of weeks ago before this launched, you know, RDO's had this. Apple tried it with Ping, and Facebook has sort of the same idea. I think this is a pretty well done. Now, Lauren, you're the youngest person here. You probably actually still listen to current music. Did you look at the website, music.twitter.com? Did you see anything of value in it?
I didn't. I downloaded the app. And I personally find music listening to be more of a private experience. I've tried the soundtracking app. I've tried Spotify. I've written a column about RDO back in the early days when they first launched it. And I have never personally seen the appeal of wanting to share everything I'm listening to all the time or get recommendations that way either. I just find it to be more of a private listening experience,
right,
unless you're out in a social setting, in which case everyone's listening to the same thing. But do I think that... it looks nice so far. I do think that Twitter has done a nice job in terms of interface. I think that you're going to see Twitter. I don't know this, but I think you're going to see Twitter try to get its Twitter tentacles in other areas too. Like maybe they'll launch something
TV?
TV, right?
Thank you for saying that. I'm usually embarrassed to think if like people could actually see my playlist. And it's like, ooh, no, I don't want to really let anybody see that.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah.
I'm a repeat offender. I get hooked on a song and then I listen to it 17 times before I'm sick of it. My neighbors probably hate me and, you know, and I don't want everyone to see that.
I mean, I remember when Spotify first went free with the Facebook login and many of my friends.
The friction-free sharing.
Oh, well, number one, you just realize how terrible the music tastes are among all of my friends. Like, they all stink at listening to music. I think this is, it's interesting, and I totally see where you're coming from, Lauren. I think it is missing the very key component. I think I heard Sarah Lane bring this up on Tech News Today, an up or down feature to have it honed a little bit more toward your taste to be like, this guy is populating my feed and I know he stinks at listening to music. He's terrible. Let me just turn him off. I suspect it's a hide feature.
They're going to absolutely do this for TV. They're going to do it for music. They'll do it for merchandise. It's a great revenue opportunity for them. They could take a cut of sales. And, you know, remember how popular scrobbling was with Last.fm?
No, that was, I don't.
You don't have no idea what I'm talking about.
I didn't scrobble.
It was huge. No. Well, it was mostly it was not in the U.S. for a long time. So maybe, but our British listeners and international listeners know all about it. And it was very popular. And that's effectively what this is. But for some reason, it worked well there. And it doesn't, maybe because it was, and this is the same thing with Google Plus, with Twitter, with everything. If it's a small universe of sophisticated listeners, then it's cool. As soon as it's the unwashed masses, it's LMFAO and
Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
community doesn't scale.
It doesn't.
The whole concept of community doesn't scale.
It doesn't.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But you could tune this. I mean, you could change the people you follow. I guess since you're not following people based on their musical taste on Twitter, it might backfire a little.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, because by and large, we don't like what everybody else is listening to. I mean, that's what we've seen. As the nichification of everything on the internet has continued to populate our own worldview, that we care about what we care about, we don't care about what the guy next to me cares about.
It all began for me when AOL opened its doors to the internet.
Man.
Remember that summer, John? The internet was a nice, calm, quiet place. It was just you, me, a few close friends, and then AOL said, "Hey, welcome. We're going to give you the internet."
Yeah, they killed themselves in the process.
This sounds like one of the casual encounters bits from Game On.
It all started in a small bar in Tijuana.
It was the summer that AOL opened its doors to the internet.
Everything went downhill after that.
Hey, let's find out what you missed. If you missed this week on Twit.
Previously on Twit. This week in YouTube.
Well, maybe you should watch this ad.
All plus size products.
I should fit in
my pants.
What?
Right here? Ship my pants, you're kidding.
You can ship your pants right here.
You hear that? I can ship my pants for free.
I just may ship my pants.
It's a real Kmart ad.
I think it's a real ad, and I think whoever did it's brilliant, but I don't think it's airing on television.
I think it's YouTube only.
That's YouTube only.
This week in Enterprise Tech.
TV.
When we have these public cloud utilities that people are so used to using, and they're dropping enterprise sensitive data
scary
into those
shot.
Utilities, they're violating... pretty much every
I do not like this shot.
Down, yes?
It's all about
it. The Jedi Council on
like
Star Wars.
Vacation house, you know, like something that's sort of between like a home but they're really crappy widget, like a place that I could go when I want to go but maybe isn't like there all the time, like keeping me from doing other stuff.
Facebook Tahoe.
i5 for the iPhone.
It's been a while since I synced any of my iDevices to a Windows machine, but I know a lot of you out there do. And I think cross-platform duh tips make all our lives just a little bit more harmonious.
Twit for justice.
That was a highlight.
There we go.
All right. For your cross-platform duh tips, you've found the right network. Our show today brought to you by Audible.com. I have to say there is a social network of Audible listeners. Whenever you go out and you meet somebody who listens to Audible, we always go, oh, what do you like? What are you listening to these days? There are so many great books. I do want to point you to, if you didn't see it, Wednesday, we interviewed Patrick Rothfuss, who wrote the amazing King Killer Chronicles, The Name of the Wind.
Listening to that right now.
It is incredible. And he is, I just have so much respect for him. That's available on Audible. And I'll tell you what, it is the best 48 hours you've ever spent. It's long, but you're gonna get your money's worth. Here's the deal: if you go to audible.com, you can get both books of the King Killer Chronicles. The third one not yet out. Mm-hmm. He's still working on it, and I didn't pressure him. But you can get both books for free if you go right now. If you go to audible.com/twit2, you'll be signing up for Audible's Platinum account. That's two books a month. And actually, they're on sale right now. So $10 if you wanted to just buy them a la carte. But why not get them free? The Platinum Clown is two books a month, two credits a month. That's two books for most books. And you can cancel anytime in the first 30 days. You will pay nothing, but the books are yours forever. I take it back. I'm looking at this now. It's 71 hours.
Boom.
71 hours for free. If you're measuring your book buying dollar by price per minute,
by tonnage,
there is no better tonnage available. That is a good deal, and Patrick is amazing. Highly recommend it.
But it's a good reader too.
Oh, he's good. Nick Podell does a great job with it. But Audible's got 100,000 books. You're sure to find something you like. Everything from thrillers, science fiction, nonfiction. I listen to a lot of history. The Pulitzer Prize-winning Orphan Master's Son is available on Audible. So if you like to keep up with the prize-winning fiction and nonfiction, it's all here. But you got to get it for free right now. If you go to audible.com/twit2, two books yours free at audible.com. Don't forget to follow him on Twitter, too. Lots of great recommendations there. They're audible_com on Twitter. I can't go to the site. What's that?
I got an Audible recommendation. This is very dorky, but I always find new stuff on Audible, and it surprises me, and I get, like, excited about it. It's called the Shakespeare Appreciated series. This is maybe because I was just in London, but...
What?
This is Julius Caesar. Literally, it's the Julius Caesar, but it's thespians doing Julius Caesar. And then they've got a narrator that's almost like this professor that sort of stops it and says, okay, hold on.
Oh, this is great.
What they just said was, boom. And then they bring that in and they sort of give you an interpretation. They talk about the history. They put it in context.
So they're like breaking it down.
Yeah, but it's the whole play. Break it down. So it's the play unabridged. Plus the commentary, which is great.
Oh, that's perfect.
I'm getting this.
With thespians doing it. You can do any of them. I love the Caesar one because it's one of my favorites, and I always try to read it around the Ides of March. I'm about a month late, but yeah, there you go. You got all of them. You can
Romeo and Juliet, Twelfth Night. Here's Hamlet, Macbeth, Henry V, Hank Sank, as we in the know call him.
Hank Sank.
It's a classic.
Big in Paris.
This is good. Thank you, Jason. I didn't even know about this. That's one of the fun things about Audible. And you see what just happened, The Social Network. Hey, have you listened to it? It's really
I'll tell you
awesome.
What. I love nonfiction. Just crushed Inside Scientology.
Oh, I got to get that. I forgot all about it.
Oh, man. It is awesome.
I'm putting that on my wish list.
I listened to it, and now I'm clear on the Bridge to Total Audible listenership.
Oh, boy. Yeah. They do have those apps, and they should add that as one of the badges. Because they have Audible apps for iPhone and Android.
Oh, yeah.
And you get badges for listening.
And by the way, their new app is awesome. If you haven't, if you have an iPhone, I don't know what it is on Android.
Same thing. Big buttons. Yeah. Yep.
Very, very good. And also, it fixes something that used to bother me. You used to not be able to download anything unless you were on Wi-Fi. Now, over your data connection, you can download the first usually 3 hours of your book.
So that's nice because you're traveling. You want to get at least.
I travel a ton. It is a absolute lifesaver.
I just added that to my wish list. I don't have any credits. I must have bought some books.
And that's great. The Inside Scientology book is great because, I mean, obviously...
It just came out a couple of months ago. It's like blowing the lid off of
All jokes aside, it strives to be as fair a representation to Scientology and the people that run it as possible. And it is extraordinarily interesting.
Speaking of nonfiction, the new Sheryl Sandberg book, too. It's very good.
Yeah, yeah. Lean In.
Yep.
Topping all the stuff. Lists right now. Topping e-downloads and...
Think about it, Lauren. You're busy. You want to read. You want to listen. You could. You get in the subway. You can listen. You don't have to hear the strange music playing. You can. While you're at the gym working out, you can listen all the time. Lauren, you got to try it. Audible.com/twit2. It is great. We're all fans.
Yeah. I would not read books if it weren't for Audible.
Yeah.
And I still don't. I listen
Apparently,
to them and lie.
You don't read. But who does?
You like Samuel Barber? He's a classic.
What about him?
You like him?
I've never read him.
No, he's a classical composer. British.
I don't know him.
Okay, so there you go.
But chat I room. Do watch. I do like Wagner, who somebody mentioned in the
you
chat
like
room.
Wagner?
Yeah, I do actually. Both of them. Also,
there was two Wagners. Was,
yeah.
Wagner 1 and then Wagner 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Well, it may have been more. It's very good.
Wagner 2, Electric Boogaloo is that's one of my what, favorites.
It's a good. Yeah. It's a, only the unedited album.
I think we have a show
EP,
title.
The EP. There's no wine recommendations for Costco.
Okay. Nothing of. Dish, you think this is crazy? They are offering $25 billion for Sprint. Charlie Ergen's a madman.
He's going nuts.
I think
isn't
he just—he's messing. He's messing with people.
He's just trolling on the largest stage possible.
He doesn't have the money.
Well, I mean, what would they want with the Sprint? I mean,
the
just,
Sprint.
Well, the, I was going to say the Sprint network.
Remember, Dish is kind of making a play to get into the cell phone business.
Yeah,
believe it or not. And they need is spectrum.
They just want to be the wasp in the shoe of every possible major entity.
Well, right? Remember that they threw a little monkey wrench into the Clear purchase. And
yeah.
Now they're doing it with Sprint. Right. So it's just, it's Charlie. That's the way he is. He's
a
great guy.
I think
it's a scam. I don't know if it's a scam. It might be a little bit of a pump. I don't know.
Pump and dump, you think?
No.
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 Lauren, what are you working on? What can we see on All Things D? Are you going to get a conference of your own? Everybody's got a conference. You need a conference.
They have a conference.
No, they do. They have Dive into Mobile. Liz Gaines got that one.
Oh, you want her to have
it. Lauren wants the Lauren Good Conference.
I don't think it'll be called the Lauren Good Conference, but we do have plans to do more conferences down the line.
See?
So we'll see. We'll have to come up with a cool new branded one. But we had the media and mobile, and we had an international conference. So we'll see what happens.
It'll just be Lauren listening to her own music and refusing your recommendation.
It'll be All Things G.
All Things Good.
All Things Good.
The Good Conference. I'm liking it.
Good as hell conference.
You can catch Lauren's writing at allthingsd.com. She covers consumer products. I see your picture life review here.
Oh, there we go. Still at work. It's all good conference.
It's all good.
It's all good.
Yep, I have a column that runs every Monday morning at 9 a.m. online at All Things D. So check it out.
That's great. So nice to have you.
Thank you.
Please
for
come back.
Me. It's been really fun.
And the next time you're in the Bay Area, please make the trek up to Petaluma. All the chicken and eggs you can handle.
All the chicken and eggs and cigars and wine. I'm looking forward to it.
And I got a Cohiba with your name on it.
Thank you.
Yeah, just for you.
That's a good brand.
The name of it, I don't know.
What are they shaped? I don't know what
it's a Bahike. Bahike.
Yeah, but what's the shape like? Is it a big fat thing? Short?
It's like a Maduro.
Maduro's a color.
It's a wrap. And it's got a torpedo-like shape.
Oh, it's got a little pointy thing at one end?
Pointy thing at one end. You need a snipper. You need a moil to smoke it.
A what?
A moil.
A moil.
The thing to cut the thing?
Yeah, the thing to cut the thing.
Yeah, good.
I got one of those.
I bet you do.
I do.
Just in case.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I know. It just deteriorates as you go.
I don't know if there was much to deteriorate.
This is, somebody said, real Cohiba are illegal. That's right.
Yes, that's
Justin
true.
Robert Young.
Yes.
You have the number one comedy album.
In Canada, United States, UK, and Ireland.
That is awesome. Just, that nice. Shows that Dane guy, what's his name?
Dane Cook.
Dane Cook. You see, you don't have to have talent. You were right.
Exactly.
Anything goes in comedy.
Literally just.
Just do the sign.
No, you had it right the first time. There we go. Yeah, the Diamond Club.
I've been making it like this, and it's really more like the Rhombus
No,
Club.
That's not. That's actually something else in sign language that I don't even want to get into.
I wouldn't do that again.
Great to have you,
Jerry.
Night Attack 2, Enjoy the Garden, go get it on iTunes. Will be available on Amazon shortly.
Did you drive out here with Patrick Delahanty?
I came up here for brunch with Patrick, and then.
Because he drove out from Boston.
Yeah.
And we just were in watching time, on by the Lips, way. And he's here now. Started?
Yeah.
No, really?
He
is that where you live, Watertown?
He's from Watertown. He has Watertown on his
ID.
The
FBI didn't know that because some guy driving from Watertown right about
all the way
that out time.
To here. He lives a mile away from.
Oh, man. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you're here now. The chances of gunfights breaking out in Petaluma are very low. We haven't had one.
It happened recently.
It happened right before.
There's a drive-by egging.
Yes. There's lots of egging. John C. Dvorak, channeldvorak.com. Take all the gaffer tape you want.
Don't say take all I want. I just want one roll.
You are a very simple man with simple needs.
Exactly.
That's enough for 3 or 4 bathing suits.
Could be.
Could be. Depends on the tookus.
Dvorak.org/blog.
Thank you. Thank you for laughing.
I know. Listen,
I just got the guy with the number one comedy album.
To laugh at some dumb thing you said.
All the Yiddish jokes possible.
ChannelDvorak.com and the NoAgendaShow.com. Also PC Magazine you can find.
When's your next No Agenda Show? You did one this morning.
Yes.
And you'll do one next
Thursday.
Next Sunday. Thursday now.
Uh-huh.
Twice weekly?
Yeah.
That's twice the amount of No Agenda. It's like an 8-hour show, isn't it? It goes on and on.
It's only 3 hours plus.
And are you going to...
Sorry.
You know why I say that? Because this has been a 2-hour show, and I don't want people to feel like, you know, this is long, because it's shorter than that.
Then 3 hours plus, yeah.
Right. Hey, we have a commuter audience, and they want it long. They want it at least. We give them 6 hours a week.
What I've realized is that the length of the show that people want is exactly their commute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not shorter, because then you have to start another show.
Sure.
Longer is not so bad, because you don't have to finish.
So apparently all your listeners are long-haul truckers.
Yes. There's apparently the average commute in this country is like 45 minutes to an hour. It's unbelievable.
It's getting longer every year.
It's ludicrous.
How long, Patrick, did it take you to? How many hours on the road to it?
45 minutes each way every day.
Yeah, see, that's very
common. It took him 45 minutes to get here from Watertown?
No.
He's talking about his old job.
How long to traverse the country, good sir?
Traverse the country about 48 hours.
That's how long the next twit will be.
That's how long, yes.
I think this one.
That's only 3 No Agenda shows.
Jason Heiner, thank you for being here. We really appreciate it. Jason's the man that got me elected president of the internet, and I'm not stepping down. Ever.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I don't care what Alexis Ohanian wants. It's mine. Jason's at techrepublic.com. We thank you for joining us. We do Twit every Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Hands are raised.
And one more thing. I just want to mention Teespring.
Wow. Is that only $15? We really should charge more for that.
I know, right?
I can't believe that. We're selling this T-shirt. It's only available for a month. It's our April T-shirt. The way we got it designed, we went to 99designs.com and we asked designers to submit designs. And we had you, the people, vote on designs. And this was the one that won. I think it's a beautiful design.
$15. It is a limited... You should buy some as chamois.
It's cheap. You should.
And they're nice.
Any for the guests? You must have a few on there.
They haven't been printed yet because we have to sell enough.
Oh, I see what you're getting at.
We have 21 days
make the
and
public
1 hour
finance
left.
Your T-shirt.
Yeah, we don't want to pay for it.
Okay.
It's a nice quality. You can choose for the Loom
American Apparel.
It's a good-looking T-shirt.
Isn't that nice? Don't you love that?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
It's styling. Would you put John down for one?
Yeah, one.
Okay. Those are free-for-all guests, right?
Yeah. Actually we should do that. Let's order a couple extra.
Sure.
We can give them to the guests.
A little swag.
Send one to Lauren. Lauren, we have ladies.
Man,
we have ladies and men sizes available.
My swag.
And since I couldn't give you some gaffer's tape, have a T-shirt on.
This has all just been an elaborate ruse so John didn't have to go buy gaffer's tape.
He was on the way to the hardware store.
He's like, screw it. I'll just do Twit.
Thought, Twit will have it. I'll come here.
You have a box of it.
Not anymore. We've given it out to everybody today. If you look under your chairs, ladies and gentlemen.
And you get gaffer's tape. And you get gaffer's tape. And you.
The website is teespring.com/twit for that T-shirt. T-E-E-Spring. That's a kind of cool startup. It was started by, I think they were Brown or Harvard students who were selling T-shirts, and they decided to do a startup. And they've done really a great job. We're really happy with them. The returns policy is very liberal. You could get it back if you sent them $30. And no, they've actually, if you anything wrong with it, they'll be glad to swap it out for you. $15, teespring.com/twit.
And do you have all three sizes, which would be...
We have many, many sizes.
Large, extra large, and programmers.
Thank you very much, everybody. I'm here all week. We do Twits.
I never got a fez. I want one of those teachers. I never got one of the fezes.
You didn't get a fez?
No, so I definitely
I should send him a fez, too.
Fezzarama. You still got fezes?
Yeah, sure. Small, medium, large, extra large.
Oh, we're going to 5XL, baby.
3XL, 4XL. 5XL.
5XL, yeah.
Yes.
They should be put on some sort
it
of
It goes
a
3XL, 4XL.
And can I tell
make
you
some serious life decisions.
You can get small or 5XL. It's still $15.
Boom.
Yeah, you could actually get a 5XL, cut it in half, and have two T-shirts.
Two T-shirts.
Yes.
I don't mind. I'm happy for you.
You can cut it in half and have two wind sails.
Right. It's a good car cover.
You can make a tent out of it. You know, it's great. Wrap your loved ones in it. Yeah. And they get chilly at
night. Gaffer's tape.
Sure, here we go.
Tape them closed and throw them in the trunk. They're much easier to drive around. You could have come out here, no noise at all in the trunk.
This is the pro gaff, by the way.
Oh, hey, we don't use amateur gaff.
This is not the 3M.
AmGaff. I don't buy AmGaff. No. We get pro gaff.
Come on. What is this?
3 p.m. in the afternoon on the West Coast, 6 p.m. on the East Coast, which means Lauren's starving because she hasn't had dinner yet.
I'm eating sunflower seeds right now. I'm so hungry.
Oh, my God. The poor girl.
Is shelled or not shelled?
They're not shelled.
You can you're going to be spitting them out like a ball player.
Oh, nice.
More than that, she doesn't have, like, a package.
She's got a
mason jar full of them.
I have a jar. I have dinner waiting for me.
All right. Exactly. Sorry, Lauren.
All the area around Lauren's going to look like the Mets, bench.
She's been going all
day. Yeah, no wonder she
all
was
day. She had a big jaw earlier.
My twit.
Big jaw. Yeah. It was like a big jaw. Just spit out before the show.
We thank you for joining us. Make sure you tune in. 3 p.m. I said that all day. And if you can't watch, we'll wrap it up. Another twit. It's in the can. Goodbye, everybody.
Doing the twit. All right. Doing the twit, baby. Doing the twit. All right.
You guys are funny.
Yeah. They try.
We're hilarious.
Funny how? Do I amuse you? Funny looking?
Funny looking.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
No, it's funny.
Yeah.
You should do the show live sometime. Don't be on the Skype.
Well, are you in New York, Lauren?
I'm in New York.
Yeah.
They must drag you out here once in a while.
Yeah, I'm out about once a month. I'm moving to the West Coast.
Bring her on the show
when
she's in town.
You're moving to the West Coast?
Yeah.
San Francisco?
Yeah, the Bay Area, I think.
Consider Petaluma.
Consider the East Bay.
You know, just in time for
otherwise
butter
you go
and egg?
Broke.
Butter and Egg Day. Now, there's a little issue with Butter and Egg Day.
Why is that?
Because it's Butter and Eggs Day. But they have the city fathers have decided to rename it to Butter and Egg Days.
So they just moved.
We're talking
S?
About Petaluma.
Yeah.
So now it's a
we
singular.
We talked about
egg,
this idiotic
one egg
thing before.
But on two days. Exactly. Yeah.
There we go.
It's very annoying. And
share the egg, ladies and gentlemen.
What's
of Petaluma.
What's the origin of it? Why is there a Butter and Egg
so
Day?
So Petaluma, which is a small town about 55,000 an hour north
of
San Francisco,
giant metropolises in the 1850s.
Actually, it was a very bustling city.
True. It's a fact.
Because we were about the northernmost point of the San Francisco Bay, so lumber, gold, food, and stuff was brought to this point, and then shipped down to San Francisco and points south. But the real reason for Butter and Eggs Day, because we're kind of in an agricultural area, is that in the 1900s, in Russia, Jewish people were being killed in pogroms by the Tsar. This is prior to communist Russia. And do-gooders here said, we need to save these. So they were getting Jews out of Russia in the 1900s. And the problem was you had all these basically peasants. They were agricultural Jews. And they said, what are we going to have them do? And it turned out it was very low capital, very easy to set up chicken farms. Mm-hmm. So they were setting these Jews up that they brought in from Russia with chicken farms. And so this was a huge chicken area. And they're still beautiful old
wood chicken.
Is this
documented anywhere?
Oh, yeah.
Because I know this used to be known for chickens.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
And we were the
awesome
number.
That's a history lesson, Leo.
Yeah. Well, it's fascinating. And there's still a lot of descendants from that. And. We had a farm for a while with a chicken coop, with two chicken coops, who were the original 1900 chicken coops.
Big giant chicken coops?
No, they're huge. They're beautiful.
You should have put some chickens in it.
I refinished the floor. We fixed it up. It was a beautiful place. I was thinking that I was going
to. You're going to move in to the chicken coop. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. We have chickens.
I am already, Leo.
You have chickens? Well, there is a rule. Washington. It's still on the ordinances. Ordinance. That's not right. Yeah, ordinances, not ordinance. Ordinance.
Yes.
Of the city of Petaluma. That you cannot, C's and C's, no covenants, and any housing project anywhere in Petaluma can prevent you from having a chicken.
Yeah.
So, in fact, it's by law you have the right to have a chicken farm here.
You have the right in Berkeley.
Berkeley, too.
But in Albany, you have to pay a $150 license fee for each chicken. Nobody does this.
Wait, per chicken?
Yes, it's a scam.
That's crazy.
There's an actual chicken counter from the city who comes around?
Yeah, that's the drawback.
I interviewed,
cities,
when I worked on KNBR 20 years ago, the last chicken sexer of Petaluma.
Is that the guy who checks the sex?
When a chick is born, it's very difficult to know if it's a hen or a cock.
This is content.
And there are people watching.
I'm already. Here we go. Hen
and
cock
and this
talk
guy,
on Twitch.
This guy could tell. I asked him, and he wasn't very explicit, but he was.
Because he didn't want you taking his job.
He was highly trained, and he could tell.
Highly trained.
Because the chicks are fairly sexless when they're born, but he could tell right away. He said, no, that's a girl. That's a boy.
Wait, just by sight?
Well, I think he turned them over.
He had to get in there.
He turned them over.
Look under the hood.
I'm not sure because he was an old guy. He was the last.
You could just spot him.
He was, and it's S-E-X-O-R. He was the last chicken sexer.
If you grow your own chickens, it's important to know because you don't want to get a bunch of roosters. Because, for one thing, you don't want any roosters.
You want one rooster.
Well, you want for the better eggs, you do.
Yeah.
But if you're in an area where they're charging $150 a head and you're trying to keep your chickens a secret. No roosters.
Because they crow.
You go out to Woodside where everyone has chickens.
They're crowing all the time. You can't sleep.
All day.
Well, it's a common misconception that roosters only crow in the morning.
They
bullshit.
Don't. No, they crow.
They crow all fucking day.
They do.
If you'll forgive me.
No, it's true. And they're annoying.
Wow. I didn't know that this topic brought out
and
such
many.
A virulent profanity.
Let me tell you, if you're trying to sleep in Petaluma,
don't. You're done.
And a lot of the roosters are aggressive and they're annoying and they're jerks.
This is content.
They're all, by the way, racists.
Poor
racists.
Yes, the only. And,
wait, hold on. Dial it back. Why are they racist?
Well, it's the way they are with their different chickens. But they're all rapists, too, which makes it even worse.
Oh, you meant to say rapist, but you said racist.
I did. You're right. Commie.
Racist is interesting, though.
Well, no, but they're. Well,
are you a Rhode Island Red? Oh, my God.
If Adam is listening, he knows why.
Those Rhode Island Reds are lazy.
We don't serve
nothing.
Your anyway, kind here.
They layabouts.
They make the lives of the poor hens miserable.
With all the raping.
Yes. Constant.
That's their job. They're not raping. They're fertilizing.
Can we talk
that's
about
what they're doing,
Google
but
now?
A lot of the hands don't
try
like
to
it.
Tell that to the cops.
And so what's so different in life? Never mind. Let's move on.
I'm saying this is content.
So, Lauren, we did this.
Now, Lauren's given up. She's
no, no.
Walk
we did this
show.
As an example.
She said, what are these idiots talking about
exactly.
chickens for? We don't care.
We don't care.
I'm in New York.
I agree.
Exactly.
Are you uptown
so anyway,
or downtown, Lauren?
That's why you should move to Petaluma.
Right now, I'm uptown. I'm on
I guarantee
upper west
she's
side.
Not moving to Petaluma.
That's where I was born, West 83rd Street.
Oh, nice. Yep. I'm actually my boyfriend's place. I'm on West 75th.
Yeah.
You were born on West 83rd
yeah.
Street?
My parents wow. lived in the Frederick Douglass Housing Projects.
Oh.
They're,
cool.
Yeah, they're still there.
Your parents?
I was born a young, small black child. No, they lived in the process because he was a grad student at Columbia. We were up in Morningside High. Anyway, that's
okay.
a long, right. boring story.
He was a professor.
This is when Frederick Douglass was actually running the housing
he
project,
He was actually
right?
in charge, yeah.
Oh, so you
stamps?
Can we talk about chickens some more?
No.
Can we talk about chickens
stamps, 237. Go to meeting 471.
Somebody else didn't have something to say about chickens besides Leo and
Squarespace
myself.
Offer code TWIT4, Audible Platinum 2, offer code TWIT2. Am I right?
That is correct. Now, there's... Changes Boy. On. I need to look at the go to meeting changes.
Oh,
because I haven't. I see it's highlighted, but I'm worried.
It's just simple copy changes.
Wait, we're not halfway important. Through the show.
I'll talk about the
right.
wine.
They save all this stuff and they use it. They use it for bloopers. They use it for bloopers at the
There's
end of
no,
the show. This was. I invented this.
You did.
Well, Burt Reynolds invented it, and Smokey and the Bandit Part
sure.
Two. But I copied it. Okay, I invented cool. it for podcasts. Where the show ends, the theme music comes up, and then wait, no, it's not over yet.
We used to do this Fade on the down. Silicon Spin Show, and I quashed it.
You did? Why'd you quash it?
I don't like it.
You know why I do it? Oh, you're getting a text there.
It's probably
you know why I do it?
Criticizing
because
me
I want people
comments.
To listen to the whole show, because sometimes the best thing is the last thing.
When is that?
When we put in the bit about chickens being racist.
Sure.
There we go. They are. They're racist, I'm telling you. These chickens. Chicken races. You know, there's a lot of different sized chickens. There's big ones and small ones and chickens that they little bitty eggs and big eggs.
Yeah.
Brown eggs.
Takes all kinds.
White eggs. There's actually a duck egg that's black.
Really?
Oh, it's a dynamite looking egg.
Does it taste better?
I never had one. I've only seen them at the fair.
Right, I just tweeted chickens for fun.
There we go.
I think you're confusing tweeting and
I CC'd you, Leo.
Clucking.
So
and by the way,
it.
The chicken, because they lay all these eggs all over the place, the eggs are phenomenal compared to a store-bought egg.
Oh, I agree.
So you just got to go forage for some
Oh, no,
eggs.
It's much better. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why there's you want no, your own chickens. It's yeah. so much better. It's,
yeah.
Oh, she's yawning. I'm so sorry,
she's
Lauren.
Boring.
Oh, it's okay. No, it's not you. It's
me.
It's not you. No. It's me.
It's not you. It's me.
Just don't worry. You can
I just
move
need
out
some
here
space.
To the Bay Area.
I just need some time.
Go
to
rummaging
myself.
Through the brush to find your
we
own
We can still
eggs.
Be friends, Lauren. But... Oh. All right, here we go.
About time.
Sometimes when the pre-show is this good, the rest of the show is crap.
Most of the time.
That's actually
but most
probably
of the time,
happen.
The rest of the show is crap. So that's the way it is.
Yeah. That really probably doesn't have anything to do with anything.
No. Just a coincidence.